We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to The Corner. I'm Kel Dansby.
And I'm Andreas Hale.
And we are two journalists who cover wrestling, boxing, and MMA, but we also love hip-hop. You may think these two worlds don't blend, but we make it work. On today's show, we talk about Miley's boob, Floyd's sparring session, Ziggler damn near naked on WWE Raw, and preview UFC 191. But first, we have to talk about the MTV Music Awards. One of us watched it.
Yeah, I just caught recaps. I was too busy in L.A. watching wrestling. I didn't even remember that the VMAs were happening.
Priorities.
I'd rather be you.
Yeah, the hell with the awards. But you missed it.
Why the fuck you lying?
Nicki Minaj, Miley Cyrus, a little bit of beef.
Why you always lying?
No, you didn't.
Yo, Nicki went straight queens. You know, Nicki got like 8 personalities. Onika came right out of her, quick.
And went right back in quick.
Easy. It's a family show.
Yeah, this is Love and Hip Hop. An award show for Love and Hip Hop. They should have like Stevie J and Jocelyn there. I don't watch that shit. It ain't even about music anymore.
Yo, you see the vine of Meek clapping for her, though?
Yeah.
It's like an old black church grandma.
Yeah, I mean, he's just got to hang on. He's just hanging on by a thread. You got to
hang on. He'll do anything. He'll carry her sneakers in between shows, whatever right now.
Do whatever you want. It's like, we forget he just had a number one album.
He ain't even making music no more. No. He's opening act for her.
Yeah.
It's like he's transported back to the braids.
You know how like men feel when we have to carry our lady's purse? How it makes us feel like mad insecure? Like,
Meek is permanently
carrying Nicki's purse.
His life is like being permanently in a mall during a girl's trip.
Like, you know how they call, like, the dude, like, the weed carrier? He's the purse holder.
Yeah, yeah, that shit's just all bad right now. That's all he's good for right now.
Meek the purse holder mill. Yo, Rick Ross is ashamed of you.
Yo, that album cover, just imagine him on album cover, just mad purses on his arm.
And Louis and, like, red bottoms.
Oh, damn. We didn't even mean to, like, flame Meek this early.
Yeah.
So, we have Miley Cyrus hosting awards. People got on her or whatever. But the best thing she did in awards was flash the camera. That was the best thing.
Is that the best?
It was the best. The titty gate, as it's going around right now.
We had titty gate with Janet Jackson.
It wasn't Janet titty. Like, Janet had like the nice like ring and everything. Janet was A1.
That's Janet's titty.
But Miley's titty wasn't bad. In the grand scheme of titties, I think it's underrated.
Oh my God. Stop fucking lying.
Miley's titty was bad, yo. Like, how
it wasn't that bad. It was small, but it ain't bad.
I mean, if we're talking about like
the grand scheme of titties,
like there's something about married old lady titty, that's bad titty.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Like, Miley's titties, like, I don't want to see a titty. Like, I can look at my own titty and, you know, I'm good.
She's not like the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. of titties.
Like, it's bad.
It's kind of like
I didn't need to see it.
She's the Adrian Broner of titties.
I didn't need to see that
titty. It's always out there. Kind of mediocre, but well, compared to bad titties, does its job.
Look, Miley Cyrus's body is like a wall, right? Like,
listen, I'm not talking about her ass or the horribly thin thighs she has.
It's all
her
thin.
Her one titty was not bad.
She needs to just put some clothes on. Like, she needs to dress like TLC in 95 for the rest of her life.
She looks a little bit like Bieber in the face, too.
And that makes
can't get
worse.
Over that.
No, she can keep that titty.
The best thing she did was show her titty.
Yeah, because I heard, like I said, I didn't watch the award. I just watched a few highlights and she sucks. Like, the whole award is like a big trolling session to try to get people to click on content, right?
Yeah, it's for SoundCloud content. Just it was a whole thing for SoundCloud listens.
Yeah, I'm cool. I don't, like I said, the VMAs, I don't care. Like, I didn't care who won. Like,
but your boy Kanye was there.
I still don't understand award shows. This arena tomorrow, it's going to be a completely different setup. Some concert, something like that. How could you explain that? It crosses my mind a little bit, like when I go to a baseball game. After that night, the stage was gone. I don't understand it, bro. I sat at the Grammys and saw the stage would be gone. understand how they get the stage gone. I don't understand when the... What, I still don't... Y'all might be thinking right now, I wonder, did he smoke something before he came out here? The answer is yes. I rolled up a little something. I knocked the edge off. Listen to the kids, bro. If my grandfather was here right now, he would not let me run for president.
Wait, is that like their version of Lifetime Achievement Award or some shit?
Yeah, Vanguard Award.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Kanye's making it. He had a 13-minute speech.
About
nothing. I barely understood that shit. He said, bruh, a lot.
Listen to the kids, bro.
Listen to the kids.
Come on, Kanye. You don't listen to the kids. Them goddamn expensive sneakers. No kid wants to spend that much money in your damn sneakers.
$400 for a fucking pair of Roshis.
Yeah, come on, son.
Yeah, nah, I'm not fooled. I'm not getting fooled by that. But he did drop the bombshell. Kanye for president. 2020.
This is the loudest silence you're going to hear from me right now.
That side. You ain't voting for Kanye?
Fuck no. Kanye running this country? Fuck no. I'm going to Canada.
He's like the black George Bush.
No, he's not.
Kanye don't care about white people. It's like the exact opposite.
Kanye does care. But he cares about everybody.
He cares about the Kardashians, money, and overpriced fucking hoodies.
Yeah, so can you imagine America
dresses like a street hobo for $1,800?
Can you imagine Kanye's running this country under like 808s and heartbreak Kanye? Like, this is a college dropout Kanye who has something to say. This is Jesus Kanye, where everything just sounds weird and distorted.
This ain't Jesus Walk Kanye?
Fuck no, because that Jesus Walks Kanye is Rhyme Fest Kanye. That's not even Kanye Kanye.
Yo, but imagine, like, Kanye got like some of the dopest ghostwriters when he was making music. His whole cabinet would be dope. Everyone's better than him. He's just a figurehead. You know he's going to hire a bunch of dope-ass people underneath him.
Well, you know Bentley Farnsworth Bentley will be in there, you know, holding his umbrella.
Oh, but Farnsworth, you know, is his right-hand man.
Let's be real. You know how easy it would be to assassinate Kanye West? Because, like, I don't think anybody would feel bad about assassinating Kanye, President West.
It depends. Who's his vice president? Chief Keef?
No.
You know, he put someone on just really random.
Yeah.
He always pulls someone out of, like, thin air. So you can't assassinate him if someone underneath him is just fucking wild.
I'll give you one guess. It's going to be somebody in the family.
Oh, God, no.
Go ahead.
I mean, French ain't there no more. No, I would love French as vice president, by the way.
I'm not talking about Bronx that stand up. I'm talking about the Kardashian clan.
Yeah, French was dating Khloe for a second. Yo, French is vice president. The Bronx would be in there. No. We'd have chuletas and baklaitos every week.
It won't be French.
Damn. French fucked it up for us. We could have been vice president.
Come on, man. Kanye's trying to make a statement here.
Let's see who's in the family. James Harden? James Harden can't be vice president.
He's not a dude. Well, used to be a dude.
Oh. Oh, I see where you're going with this. Would he run under Bruce Jenner? How does that work?
Exactly. And that's why Kanye would do it.
Yo, that would get him votes, though.
Would it?
Yeah. Hell yeah. First transgender vice president? That shit's cutting edge. You need that. You need, like, shock factor. Like, you can't just be a woman running for president anymore. That shit's lame.
Here's what's wrong with America, right? This is exactly what's wrong with America right now. It's never about the music, and then it won't be about the politics. It'll be about who he's running with.
Exactly.
They'd be like, oh.
We've seen black people. We're going to see women. You got to just shock the world. And it's Kanye. You got to do something new. Transgender is the new wave.
Kim Kardashian is the first lady? That's disgusting.
It's not that. Like, not Kim K now. Not like Kim K
are we
from the
about?
Fucking penguin Photoshop joints that were going around at the awards.
The many faces of Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, so not like 1,800-pound Kim Kardashian while pregnant. Like the sexy Kim Kardashian.
Oh, the Kim Kardashian that sucked Ray J's dick. That's going to be her first lady, huh?
Hey, listen, there's been wilder shit to happen in the White House.
Not really.
My boy Clinton made some shit happen pop off.
But that's look, it's Bill Clinton. It's like, this is after he got in the White House. Kanye fucked up before the White House. This is pre-president.
All's forgiven.
Kanye. No, it's not.
Listen, she makes enough money. Her whole life changed after that sex tape. She'll be all right.
No. No, she was
first lady with a sex tape.
Son, she was with Chris Humphreys.
That hurts. That hurts more than a sex tape.
Like, Chris Humphreys, Reggie Bush, like, everybody had, like, you've never heard a first lady where they were like, everybody had a piece of the first lady's ass. and the many faces of Kim Kardashian, like, Kanye would never hear the end of it.
Oh, she gonna look ugly by then, too.
Yeah, her face is already, like,
she's gonna be halfway to Lil' Kim.
Halfway? She might be all full Lil' Kim by 2020.
Ah, that's rough.
But let's go back to this Kanye for president thing. Like, his speech, he said in the beginning of the speech, he's not a politician. At the end of his speech, he says, as you probably guessed by now, no, Kanye, nothing you said in that goddamn speech made me think that you were going to say you're running for president. Not a fucking thing
you
said.
There was not one context clue that led me.
He didn't say, I'm going to change the world. Like, college dropout Kanye, late registration Kanye, graduation Kanye could have said I'm running for president. I'd be like, you know, I'll give some credence to that. This Kanye, like, Kanye that doesn't
not
really
not Yeezus Kanye?
The Kanye that doesn't really make great music anymore. Let's just be honest. He's not, like, there's nothing that's really stuck to us.
I like Blood on the Leaves. That was, like, the only shit
but
I liked.
But you're shrugging
from last
at it.
Album.
Even when you said it, you shrugged it. It wasn't like, I love, like, Spaceship or you know, like, Two Words. It's, that Kanye is long gone.
Yeah, Two
this
Words.
This is new
We're
Kanye.
Never getting that again.
Yeah.
This not from him.
It's not Crack Music Kanye, which is another song he didn't write. But I'm just being
shout out
honest.
To the Ghostwriters.
But this is Kanye who made an album full of noise and called it Cutting Edge. So if he ran for president, and let's just say he won, what is his first order of business going to be? Is it going to be about the artist? No. It's going to be about him.
Yeah.
Fuck Kanye. For president, no thanks, man. Y'all can have that shit.
He's going to go into Congress and just set shit on fire.
Yo, but here's the problem.
Just mad flames. And he's going to wear the mask like he wore on tour. Okay. So you're not even going to see his face. He's going to have like the diamond-studded mask in Congress just walking right up in that shit.
Imagine the Kanye State of the Union speech.
Oh. Last night at the MTV Awards, he said he was God. Imagine if he was president.
And he said he was God. You know how many people were bombers? Shit, yo. Kanye for president would be horrible. But here's the funny thing.
Two terms. I need two terms. Listen, out of Kanye.
Donald Trump, he's not winning. He's not going to.
Miley's voting for him.
Whatever. But Donald Trump's going to live forever because he's evil. Like, evil people just live forever.
Right? Yeah, they do.
So if Kanye, if there was a Kanye versus Trump ticket in 2020, yes, I would be packing my bags and I'd move to Canada where I'd endorse Drake as president. Like, I would endorse
rather have Drake as president.
Yes. Then Kanye.
Do they have Trump. Presidents in Canada?
No.
How does that work?
It's the do they? Jesus Christ. I can't even think. Yeah, the prime minister.
Prime minister. Okay, thank you. Thank
Drake would be the prime minister, and like Bieber would be his bitch, and that would be Canada. But nothing.
Oh, that's
ever
not bad. Bieber for first
Canada.
Lady.
Look,
Bieber is halfway to Ellen DeGeneres. He could be first lady.
Yo, that haircut.
Oh God. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Listen, fuck it. I don't want to talk about Kanye being president anymore because it's never gonna happen. He's lying. Why the fuck you lying? That's my shit right now. Y'all gonna hear about like 12 times on this show. Kanye's never running for president. Donald Trump's a racist. Hulk Hogan's a racist, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
And Justin Bieber has really bad hair.
Yo, he has the middle-aged woman I mess with black men haircut.
It's like even worse than that. It's like
short on one side, long on the other.
Actually, you might be right. This is like Blondie, like Bananarama hair. Like,
yeah,
he's got
it's
80s Karate Kid hair right now.
I know he paid like $600 for that haircut too.
Yeah.
Like, you know that shit was just off the wall.
Yeah.
And he just got out the chair feeling fresh. Like, when you get that fresh line and like your beard connect all the way and everything, you just feel like you take on the world. That's how he felt when he got that haircut, and that's no one told him.
He looked like mad, like he looked like partial, like emo lesbian. Like, that's what he looked like an emotional lesbian.
Yeah,
he got his heart broke.
At this point, he's like asexual. Like, we don't know exactly where Bieber stands.
Yeah, yet people love him, and he dropped that iTunes thing that shot to the top in a minute. I didn't even listen to the song.
I heard the song. I don't like the song that much. And I'm not against Biebs. Like, I usually like his singles and all that stuff. And, yeah, I didn't like this one.
Yeah, well, then he cried at the VMA.
Oh, there's no crying in music.
Yes, there is.
Only if you're Chris Brown. And Chris Brown don't count. He hit Rihanna. He had to bounce back. He had some shit to cry about.
Yeah, Bieber just hit the wall. That's all that happened with Bieber. He just hit the wall and was like, I need help. I've done a lot of fucked up things in my life. He's another. Him and Chris Brown will be on the same Celebrity Rehab show.
Yo, that's what happens, like, when you do too much Molly and then the come down hits you just like that. So, like, you
what,
just.
The haircut know, happens?
No.
I mean.
The emotional state of Bieber. So, you know, he was just, like, amped up. And then, like, he just crashed and, like, tears started coming down. And he realized, like, yo, I look like a 35-year-old mom. And then he's just like, fuck. Like, this is my life. And then he starts crying. Yeah. And then people are applauding it. It's just a train wreck. And you know we're going to see him next weekend.
Why?
Mayweather fight. You know your boy Beebs is going to be here with us.
Damn.
We got to ask him questions about that haircut.
Because he always wears the Undertaker's hat when he goes out to Mayweather's fight, too. I don't understand this shit. Like, why do you wear the Undertaker's hat when he goes to Mayweather? He's not going to hide that freshly cut hair.
No. It's like half Light Caesar, half Bob. Like, he's trendsetting right now with that. Like, you can't even go to a barbershop and pick that shit on a wall. That's when you know your haircut is dope. When they don't got, like, a number for it, you'd be like, yo, let me get that number 56. He's off the charts.
Yeah, it's like, let me get a little 2 with a little 37. This shit I got in a magazine. A little bit of Cassie and Lala and a little shave shit on the side.
Yep. Like, just, yo, I want to look exactly like Carucci when she left Chris Brown. Ugh. Make it happen. That's what he went in there and said, and they gave him the whole joint.
So here's the mess up thing. We spent, I don't know how long we spent talking about the VMAs.
Way too long.
We haven't talked about a goddamn award yet. Or performance. Like an actual performance.
I couldn't tell you who won what. Exactly. Performance-wise, The Weeknd performed. I caught like a quick glimpse of that. I like the new album, so.
I don't. So go ahead.
You don't like the new album?
No, I don't like it. I like The Weeknd. Before I saw The Weeknd's face, I loved his music. Oh. Ever since he showed his face, he's a different artist.
Why? You don't like the stupid little hair?
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just the whatever it did when he showed his face, he's not making the same music. House of Balloons Weeknd is my shit.
Yeah, I like all three joints in the trilogy.
And people that have known about me, I was on The Weeknd a long time ago, like way before House of Balloons dropped, when they was just on some like random ass sites. But this new version of The Weeknd, I'm not really fans of it. It's too poppy.
He got to sell records. Yeah, I don't like the poppy shit. I don't like that single he has that's way too upbeat, and he sounds like Bruno Mars.
Yeah, like...
I don't like that song off of it. But I like the deep kind of joint, the Tell Your Friends joint is fire.
I shrug my shoulders at all that shit.
Yo,
bring me back
bad.
The old mysterious Weeknd. I don't like this Weeknd that I see all the time. Like, I don't want to see his face all the time. I don't want
to... He's too far out there. I don't know... I need to know if we have, like, a strong female fan base. I know some women hit me up on Twitter, say they listen to the podcast. Explain how The Weeknd is a sex symbol. I will never get this.
He's on TV. That's really all. He's on TV.
Yo, chicks thirst over him. Like, Abel, there's chicks with XOXO in their Instagrams and all. Like, how is super nappy dreads kind of in, like, a weird cone at the top of your head and being a chubby light-skinned dude underneath that make you a sex symbol?
He doesn't do any interviews, so you never really hear him talk. He just makes music.
Oh, I just anticipate him having the Michael Jackson voice. Like, in my head, he speaks like Michael Jackson. Like, thank you, guys.
I don't know. But if you're on TV and you got money, anything's beautiful.
Yeah, that's fucking
like,
weird,
let us blow up, right? Like, because I've never really had a problem getting women or anything like that. But this shit will go through the roof.
You think? We got to get it. We need to be on TV, man. That's Operation 2016.
Like, sensible women be like, Andreas ain't shit. He's the same. Like, they'll do that. Sensible people will do that shit. But there'll be, like, a gang of Instagram models to be, like, on our shit.
I can't handle that right now. I'm trying to be, like, a good man right now. I'm not trying to, like, indulge
no,
in
married.
The Instagram
I'm not
thoughts.
Indulging in any of that shit. But I'm just telling you what it is. What it is that you're going
to
have.
I'm living this washed life. I am trying to be, like, a one-woman man. They're going to, like, fuck up my life.
Well,
I can't do it.
Yeah, you better get off social media.
Yeah, like, if
you
are listening,
respond,
thank you,
respond.
Hardcore audience, for not thirsting over me. And if I become famous off of this and we're on TV and shit, can you please just curve everyone else on my Instagram?
Yeah, good luck.
Like, yo, don't talk to him.
Kel's going to get swallowed up by all that shit.
Do not corrupt Kel.
Kel's going to be a new guy. You're gonna be wearing Kanye
changed.
Stuff.
You changed. Yo, I watched.
You're
be
wearing
new
Yeezy
Yeezys
boots every weekend.
Yeah, the tan joints, colors that don't even come out. The taupe.
Yep. Taupe.
yo, check out these cranberry Yeezys.
This is what it's like being a celebrity. Like, The Weeknd gets mad butt because he's on TV and makes music. It has nothing to do with how this man looks.
That's so weird. I need this explained to me.
No, I'm sure some woman will explain it to you on the podcast. If a guy explains it to us, I'm blocking you.
Now, we'll get a women's opinion on this soon. Next week, we're stacked. But in a couple weeks, we'll come back and talk about all this
crazy
shit.
Maybe not, because I prefer to forget about this entire conversation.
All right, so there was the awards. We covered that now to nauseam. Talked about it way too long. Instead of going to the awards, though, you were in L.A.
Yes.
You were in the TDE offices. What was your weekend like?
Yeah, so on Saturday, I got up and drove to L.A., to cover the Ricardo Mayorga Sugar Shane Mosley fight. And I got a lot of shit on social media. Like, people were like, why aren't you at the Santa Cruz Up Demarais fight?
I was supposed to be there. got hit and run and damn near got my whole nose taken off in my car.
We do have to talk about you almost getting destroyed and then a one-man show.
I feel like Kanye, though. Like, I just walked out that shit. Like,
nope. You've gone too far already.
Just listening to Through the Wire all day.
If you were doing Through the Wire on this podcast, it'd be a one-man show because I would not be back. Nope. Wouldn't want to have that. But, yeah, we'll talk about your hit-and-run situation. I'm glad that you're safe.
Thank you. I'm glad that I'm safe.
Yeah, well, you should be. But
I get to come here and talk.
Some of our listeners probably would have hoped otherwise.
They need these gems, yo. They would have been so upset if they had to have, like, a co-host because Kel is recovering. Like, yo, Kel's replacement for the next 3 weeks. They would have been upset. Yeah, they would have boycotted the show.
He's sensible. We don't like him.
We need that heat.
We need Skip Bayless.
I'm not Skip Bayless.
Dog, you just accepted your Skip Bayless.
I'm not Skip Bayless. I just talk nothing but the truth, man.
At any rate, people
are scared of the truth.
So I drove.
Kanye for president.
No. Why the fuck you lying? I'm telling you. I'll probably just block out my vocals and just put in that drop through the rest
every
of the
time.
Show, nobody wants to hear me sing this shit. Nobody wanted to hear him sing this shit, but it was amazing. But yeah, I covered the Mayorga-Mosley fight because, one, I got paid to do it, and, two, it was a train wreck waiting to happen. Like, I knew Mara Santa Cruz was going to be a good fight. There was no doubt about it. That fight was going to be good from the jump. I knew Staples Center was going to be rocking. But I've been to fights for, this is like almost my 10th year covering boxing. I can miss a good fight and watch a train wreck. And that shit was a train wreck.
Yo, why'd the chick look like a professional wrestler singing in the middle of the ring?
Which one? The one, the Captain Marvel? One of my boys. Yo, one of my boys, I hope he's listening. Ben Colley's part of the Wrestle Rap crew. He says she looks like an NXT superstar.
She does.
Yo. They had music. Look, so let me explain the experience a little bit. So we got to the Forum, right? And they've kind of like redone the inside of the Forum. It's more for like concerts now. It's not for Laker games anymore.
Cool.
And so you get there, and they charge us $25 for parking, which I expensed. But the fact that I had to pay $25 to park pissed me off. Like, I was mad.
There's no media parking pass?
No, they made media pay to park. Like, first of all, you got us to come to this fucking show. Like, you got us to watch Shane Mosley and Ricardo Mayorga.
Paid me to park at this
That's
shit.
That's what I'm saying. But they made us pay to park. So I was mad. Like, I was already mad when I got in the building. They had open media seating. You could sit wherever the fuck you wanted in the media section. And the media section, for some reason, was further back than any other media section that I've been in. So it's like me, Steve Kim, Doug Fisher, Ryan Burton, like people, like there were actual boxing journalists there. It was like they had like beers. Like nobody was taking this shit seriously. There was a lot of chicks in bikinis, and I have no idea why.
Indoors,
in bikinis, just walking around.
Hopefully that's a trend. Continue.
Perhaps. In between rounds, even in between fights, the girls would put on these big ass boxing gloves and they would fight. Much to the chagrin of fans, because it wasn't like it was like cat fights where they were rolling around. They just looked really stupid doing it.
It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
But they weren't really rocking sock and shit. They were just giggling a lot.
Oh, they do that shit at like King of Diamonds, like in the strip clubs.
See?
They have like boxing nights where chicks oil up in thongs and beat the hell out of each other.
Your job is to strip. I expect your clothes off. I don't expect you to put on any type of boxing gloves. No, thank you.
A stripper getting KO'd might be good entertainment. I don't know. They sell out this shit all week.
So Shane, this is all Shane's doing. It's all his fault. Go Box Promotions, ran by his girlfriend, who's 31, has never done anything in boxing. That's ridiculous. She shouldn't have any hands in this. But
she got her ass grabbed, though.
Yes, she did. So in between that, you got these weird performances by people we've never heard of in our entire lives. So you had the girl in the Captain Marvel outfit. You had the girl who was doing the TLC creep dance in the middle of her performance. I was like, yo, it's 2015. It's been 20 years. You got to cut that shit out. And then we had just some really strange fights. And Shane knocked out Ricardo Mayorga. The fight was actually entertaining in like a bar fight kind of way.
Mayorga was like half Bullet Club in that joint.
Yeah.
Tell him, suck it.
Yeah, he gave him the suck it. Like, he was jawing at him. It was like the old Mayorga. Now, mind you, Mayorga, it was a 158-pound weight limit. Mayorga came in at 165 the day before. The night of the fight, he probably weighed like 190. He's fat as fuck. But he's here to get a check. Shane looked like he wanted to fight. Mayorga looked like he just wanted to play. And
Shane missed weight too, though.
Yeah, both of them missed weight. And Shane's talking about dropping down in weight even further. I don't know.
People are like, oh, yeah, to promote the fight and Shane couldn't like really didn't focus.
Matter. In the grand scheme of things, it was a train wreck. It didn't matter. We all laughed at it.
I would love to see the pay-per-view sales from that shit.
10. Maybe 11.
It's like Zizek's Road, the worst fucking film ever.
Oh, my God. I never saw that film, but
it's the least grossing film ever.
Really?
It is. Zizek's Road. It sold like 4 seats at the box office. Like, it sold $40.
Holy shit.
And it has the chick from fucking Knocked Up.
And it's funny because anybody on the West Coast who's ever driven between Vegas to L.A. knows exactly where that
Zizek's
road is.
Road is, yeah. I look at it every time. It's the worst grossing
film of all
time.
People in New York are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Zizek's Road. Like, every time I drove by that road, like, for years, I was like, how do you pronounce this? Like, who? What dumbass made this road? Yes.
Hence why no one saw the movie.
Yes, exactly. Zizek's Road. Okay, wow. I remember seeing the movie at, like, Blockbuster or some shit, like, yep. Hollywood Video.
He's grossing film of all time. This might Jesus rival it. 11 pay-per-views, bro.
Yeah, like,
that's why you're all the way in the back. They had to sell, like, as many tickets for, like, $100 in the front row as possible.
They got about 2,000 people in there, maybe. Maybe three eventually.
That's it? See, more yeah. at Tough Enough fights.
I mean, it was rough because it was, like, 100 and, like, I could count on two hands how many people were there before the main event. And everybody just kind of flooded in. And I don't even call it a flood. They kind of like trickled in and took their seats, which probably were comped. And yeah, we had a train wreck of a fight. And that was my Saturday night. I went back to my hotel and kind of laughed the shit off, watched the Mara Santa Cruz fight.
What'd you think of the Mara Santa Cruz fight when you finally got to sit down and watch it? Like, you were following it on Twitter, though.
I was watching.
I saw your tweets.
Like, I had my laptop and I was literally watching the fight in between the fight.
Oh.
Like, I was like, when the people were like, what do you watch? I was like, the Mara Santa Cruz. Like, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm watching this bullshit. Like, I can do both. I can multitask.
Yeah.
So I watched both fights. But
they ended at the exact same time, which was crazy.
Yeah, which was very
like,
crazy.
On the dot. But yeah, I mean, I thought Mares had a good game plan to come out, and I thought he really took it to Santa Cruz, and then Mr. Pity Pat took over and just carved him up. And Santa Cruz, even though you kind of looked at me crazy last week, outboxed Mares. Like, he has boxing skills. He wanted to be technical, and then he pity-patted him to death, still with a ton of damn punches. But he showed that in the long run, he was just better conditioned and a better fighter.
That's what I said last week. I said, Mares, whatever he does, he can't keep it up for 12 rounds. Any rounds that are close, he's going to go to Santa Cruz because he's going to be the busier fighter.
And he's never really had to with Mares. That was, like, the problem. Like, usually that aggressive shit at that weight gets people out of there. And for a second, I thought, like, yo, he might be able to take a 10-8 round. And that's what I was banking on. Knock him down. Knock Santa Cruz down. Take a 10-8 round here and then keep him moving. He couldn't do it. Ran out of gas. And now he wants a rematch already.
Yeah, but he needs to take his ass back down. He needs to go down to weight class. Mars isn't big enough for that weight class.
No. And I mean, a couple of wins, he'll get that rematch. Like I told you last week, I think it's a trilogy. Don't fight again.
It could be. A lot of hyperbole. That's what social media is made for nowadays. Albums are classic. 3 minutes after they drop, fight your fight of the year. Fight was not the best fight I've seen.
Four rounds in, people were just like, fight of the year.
Yeah, this is amazing. Now, was it good?
Let's see.
Was the energy in the arena great from what I saw? Yes.
Four rounds were great.
Yeah. But after that, when Santa Cruz took over, I was like, this isn't fight of the year. It's just a really good fight. There's a big difference. There's a difference between a good album and a classic album. And people don't know the difference between that shit.
What's your chances that Floyd versus Berto is a classic fight? Fight of the year.
Shit.
Give it a percentage.
Three.
Three.
Yo, 11. We'll go with the same Shane Mosley, Ricardo Mayorga pay-per-view buy as the percentage that
11.
It could be wildly entertaining. Don't
Berto
get me wrong.
Knocks him out for any strange reason, which is damn near unheard of. If he just catches him with the Marquez Pacquiao one hit lucky stars joint, it might be fight of the year.
I mean, it'll be
upset.
You know
how much money people are going to make from that shit?
It'll be upset of the year, guaranteed, by far. Upset of the forever.
Yeah, I was about to say biggest upset ever.
I mean, Mike Tyson Buster Douglas is pretty fucking big.
This is bigger than that.
Yeah, this might be bigger than that because the sustained dominance of Floyd Mayweather and his inability to be touched by anybody else. For him to get knocked out by Berto, yeah, it would be upset of anything. I don't think we've ever seen an upset that big in anything.
I got to pray for that. Like, I want to see that. Like, if there's any outcome that would make this weekend worth it or next weekend worth it, it'd be that.
Yeah, you have to make it worth my while. Like that. Like
anything outside of that, I'm going to just be upset. And at least I'm going out after the fight and I can have a couple drinks and chill.
Yeah, so, I mean, back to Mosley after the fight says he wants to fight. He told me, I was hurt when I fought Floyd. I was hurt when I fought Pacquiao. I want both of them. And I'm like, Shane, shut the fuck up. you're not going to get either of those guys. But he does want Juan Manuel Marquez, which is actually kind of feasible.
It's possible. I mean, Marquez ain't doing shit.
No. And I mean, but you know, they have to find a weight to fight at because Marquez ain't coming up to like 158 to fight Shane Mosley.
No, you got to fight at 154, right?
In the 147. Like Marquez, actually Marquez is small. For 147. You saw what Floyd
did.
Yeah,
he was smaller than Floyd, really.
So
yeah.
It's like, they have to be at like 140. And Shane ain't making 140. They'll have to figure something out. The fight could happen.
Marquez hasn't fought in, what, 2 years or something? No,
Marquez
a year and a half?
Need to fight. Like,
he has to be kind of heavy. Like, he has the weight on him. Just, I mean, don't lose it.
He's not Marcos Maidana heavy. Have you seen Marcos Maidana? He looked like he ate Marcos Maidana.
He's living off of those Floyd checks. You know how long you can live off a $6 million check in Mexico?
You know, I mean, shit, you know, you can live in
Mexico, Central America, all that shit, everywhere he lives in there. He's rolling like a king.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a lot of damn money.
Yo, he's just living. He's eating just mad food right now.
He doesn't
know how many street tacos that buys?
No, shit. I don't.
They have to go for like 50 cents. It's Mexico.
It is.
And you just stay out of the big cities. You rolling around, chilling. You Marcos Maidana.
He should have like an island in Mexico. Like, they should carve out a piece of Mexico and call it his land.
Yeah, yo, I'm sure down, where is it? Somewhere in Central America where he's from. That shit can't be rich.
He's from Argentina.
Argentina.
Yeah. So, I mean, you pick a place. You pick a bodega and you allow him to take it over. And you spread the shit out like the wire. And he takes over a whole block. And then you just name it after Marcos Maidana.
That's it. That's all he needs. And he never has to fight again.
No, he doesn't.
Him and all his people are taken care of.
Like, Marcos Maidana will 2 fat checks from Mayweather.
Back to back.
Yeah.
In 1 year, he made more than he'd ever thought he'd make in his career. He's out.
Yeah, like, look at Andre Berto. Berto's about to make a career high earnings to go in there and lose and be Floyd's sparring partner.
It's not a bad way to go.
Nah, without the headgear. You're just not doing it without the headgear.
And Maidana, I mean, we probably won't see him again. Who else gets, like, really big in between fights? Oh, Broner.
Yeah, Broner gets big.
Double cheeseburger Broner. Somehow he loses that shit every fight, though.
Yeah, because he's still young.
But he eat it in and out. Yeah. Like 3 days before the fight.
Like Marcos Maidana
Chavez Jr.
Marcos Maidana ate an In-N-Out. Like, he didn't eat just the burger. He had like the burger, the fries, the people behind the register, the fucking chairs. Like, he ate all that shit.
Marcos like Maidana, 2 bills right
yo,
now.
Yo, have you seen him?
No, I didn't see the picture.
He's huge. He's huge. You got to pull it up. He's huge.
That's crazy.
But back, yeah, Shane wants, he wants Marquez. I don't know how we got the fat ass Maidana. But Shane wants Marquez. Floyd or Pacquiao, he only wants big names. He wants a few more fights, and he wants to get out the business. He wants to be a promoter. Now, judging from how this promotion went, he should probably not be a promoter.
No.
But Shane, do whatever you want.
I'm sure he wanted to promote his son.
Yeah, but he's got to just keep him off them drugs.
Yeah, I was about to, and then that went left.
Off them PEDs, boy. And he told me how mad he was at his son for doing that shit. He was like, yo, you saw how much trouble I got in, and I didn't even know. He's like, why won't you tell me? Like, you know, I'm well versed in this shit. I had to deal with Balco. Like, why won't you tell me if you took something you didn't know? Dumbass. It's a lot of dumbassness rolling around these parts.
Yo, that's what it's about. Talking about that Floyd media day, we didn't discuss it last week because we hadn't gone yet.
And you still didn't go.
Nah. I mean, I was there. I was just there before you.
Yeah, you got there when Big Tigger was like, you and Big Tigger.
Me, Big Tigger, chilling. Yeah, I talked to some of, like, the gym guys, like just people that train Mayweather gym. I was like, yo, I've seen everything else. I went to get something to eat. I was chilling. I had something else to do, and I was like, I hit you up. I was like, is he there yet? You're like, nah, not yet. Then I hit you up half an hour after that. You're like, yo, he just got here. And then I was looking. I was like, do I want to deal with the 5 o'clock traffic? Probably not.
You like, okay.
And I saw the videos. I was like, cool, it's a sparring match. I'm more interested in what the sparring match says than watching him spar.
Well, then, and that's, I wrote a few pieces on that. But for one, first of all, I've covered Mayweather fight. There's 2 different Mayweathers. There's post-De La Hoya Mayweather and pre-Mayweather De La Hoya. I mean, Mayweather De La Hoya. Yeah, before he won. And I've covered all of his fights since the De La Hoya fight. That's when I first got covering boxing. I've been to all of his media days. That was the smallest media day crowd I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. When I was there, it was a ghost town.
Which is still larger than 98% of anybody else's media day. Because most other, like, people don't know, boxing media days are pretty damn scarce. Like, the good ones maybe will still have, like, 30 people there. It was still a good, like, you know, maybe 100 people there. But it was a far cry from Mayweather Pacquiao for obvious reasons. But it was also, like, even the Guerrero. You're making a face. What
is this Maidana fat right here?
Yeah, that's fat. That's fat Maidana.
Looks like Maidana's uncle.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
I told you.
My boy Ron, who's Filipino, he got an uncle look just like that. But he's like 45 and eats a whole lot of lumpia. Okay. So he got a reason to be fat.
Yeah, he probably did the same. But yeah, it was the scarcest that Floyd made with the media. There was not a lot of media there. And then Floyd shows up, and he shows up in his $4.8 million car. which got more talked. It was more talked about than anything else he did up until the sparring.
Oh yeah,
and then he has his fleet of cars with him, and then a lot of us, you know, me, Kevin Ioli, like Steve Carr, we're sitting around and we're like, the fuck we got to talk about? Like, we know what he's gonna do. Most of us can write this before we leave. Floyd does his little video interviews. Of course, he's defending why he's fought. He's picking Birdo.
Of course.
And then he comes over to us, and he sits down. And it's some what is weird that happens is he doesn't sit down. He stands there. Rafael Garcia starts wrapping his hands, and then he starts greasing his face. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, well, why the fuck is he greasing his face? He must be getting ready to spar. But it didn't click. And I'm asked the question that I asked him, that Leonard Ellerbe looked at me and like smiled, because I was like, you remember the day we were sitting in the room and we were talking about, you know, who you're going to fight next? And you were like, I'm either going to fight Andre Berto or Kareem Mayfield.
Yeah.
And we kind of laughed at him. I was like, was that the moment you decided to fight Andre Berto? Like, you were like, fuck these guys, I'm going to fight Andre Berto. And Floyd, you know, Floyd gave a serious. He was like, no, not like that. And Leonard's smiling. I'm looking at Leonard. I'm like, when did you know this fight was going to happen? Like, I feel like Mayweather gave us a big fuck you when we laughed at him.
Yeah, like he just trolled us. Like, what do you mean? I can't pick who I want to fight? Yeah. Like, I fight whoever I want. I'm Mayweather. You coming for me? Like,
yeah, so I'm going to fight.
He was dead serious in that back room, too. He was like, Mayfield or Burton. We were all just like.
Yeah, we're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know how many pieces came out with people like Floyd's trolling us? Like, I was the main one. Like, mad people was like, he's going to fight Berto. I was like, no, he's not. He's trolling
us. Yo, once I posted that video, people were like, nah, like, why are you, like, it's crazy. I was like yo, playing. He said it. Like, what do you want me, like, he, honest to God, looked like he believed it. And he did.
It came to fruition. I dead ass, and that's why I asked him. I asked Leonard the same exact question. I said, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Floyd. Did y'all make the decision that day to fight Andre Berto? And he was like, well, we were always five steps ahead. You know, they all dance around the question like Floyd dances around punches. But and then Floyd disappears and just comes back with headgear on. And, you know, there's two rings. There's the doghouse ring where all the sparring happens.
Yeah.
That's where the Rodman brothers, you know, had their little lawsuit for the 36-minute rounds.
Exactly.
And then there's the ring,
major.
Yeah, like, where Floyd usually jumps in and does his sit-ups and gets all the camera shots.
Yeah.
He doesn't get in there. And all, you know how everybody lines up. Everybody's surrounding the ring.
Yeah.
And people are looking over. And I looked over, and I saw, I think it was like Martin Rogers or somebody. And it was like, you think Floyd's about to spar? And he has his headgear on. I was like, I think he's about to spar. And everybody runs to like the other side.
To the other ring, yeah.
Because nobody, people have seen Floyd spar, but the rule is like no phone, no recording devices of any kind when Floyd
spars.
That
is the key, yeah.
And Floyd just puts on his gear, calls a guy in, I can't think of his name right now, and proceeds to box 2 9-minute rounds. And I mean, he looked good. His conditioning's up to snuff. He's Floyd.
Yeah.
But the fact, it says to me two things.
He was taking a lot of punches in those sessions.
Well, it looked like it, but he really wasn't. I mean, he was just kind of
like, he was, well, more so than normal Floyd, but he was standing more toe to toe than I would think. But I've only seen him spar twice in my life.
I mean,
before then, I haven't been around long enough to see every Floyd Mayweather sparring session. And get that crazy access for that long.
Yeah.
So before, you know, it's kind of like he was more movement. He does a lot of what he does in the ring during fights. This time he was just like, oh, flat-footed, let's go.
I mean, obviously he's preparing for Berto, right? And maybe he wants Andre to see that, you know, this is what you're going to get, which still isn't a whole lot. It still wasn't like he was throwing like 100 punches around.
No,
it was like
real
Santa Cruz. The other thing it tells me is I think Floyd's really retiring. Like, in the way that his conversation came off, and the way that, you know, I talked to his baby mom, Melissa, who I've known for a long time, and the way that her, like, the way the demeanor really is, I don't think he's coming back.
You know all these people. We got to get him on the show.
Yeah.
She needs, like, a wealth of information.
Well, yeah. But
I just want to know more about her. Like, you guys, like, have been friends forever. Like,
yeah,
I don't care about Floyd.
she's the only. But it's just, the fact is that the demeanor from everybody there is really suggesting that Floyd doesn't really care about it. Like, he doesn't really want to do this anymore. And we got that even with the Pacquiao fight. We got that with the Canelo fight, where Floyd's like, I'd rather just kind of, I'm older now, and I'd rather be around my kids.
He wants to leave with all his faculties. That's and at this point,
he's going
to
do that. And even if he fought
escape
his, yeah, he, even if he fought
intact.
His 50th fight, he'd have all his faculties. But I think the desire to do it is just really not there anymore. Like, he really has no desire to do this.
Oh, I don't know. I think he still has a lot of desire to make money at a large clip, and he's going to find out. Once again, he's like kind of like Jay-Z. You're the talent. You're the whole talent for your company, so you have to keep rapping eventually.
Oh, they're doomed. Like Mayweather Promotions is doomed.
It's done once you stop. So I think he has this idea that he's built it up to a point where he can continue. And they've gotten like a couple other little fights here and there. They had the Sean Porter joint where they were a part of.
Yeah.
And all this. You know, they peppered it.
None of their fighters, though. That's the problem.
But, you know, PBC has helped where they're just like, yo, I just need, you know, a little company to step in because Al Haymon doesn't necessarily have, like, the licensing to do that. So he uses other people. So he's like, yo, Mayweather, I'll give you a nice little percentage. Come in, put your name on this. And I think Floyd has this idea now that these fighters can carry him and the company. And I think he's going to take time off and realize – I'm wrong, and I got to step back in the ring. And right now, this, you know, it's similar to Jay when Jay retired. Everything was like, oh, my God, Jay's gone. And then you go a year and a half, and he's just like, oh, I'm the talent. Yeah, I got to come back.
You get an itch. So, look, if Floyd came back, I would be surprised not at all. Like, nothing about Floyd returning would surprise me. But if he didn't come back, I would be equally not surprised. Like, I'm really, like, just talking to him and seeing how he's acting, I'm just like, I don't think he wants to do this anymore. And it's a lot different. Like, rapping is me. I go to sleep. I think of some raps in my head. I wake up. I go to the booth. I spit them. I'm done. Right? The most work I'm going to have to do after that is my promo tour.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's really it. Boxing, I go get my ass kicked, run 8 miles. There's a lot of shit you got to do to prepare for a fight.
Yeah, your body goes through it a little bit more. Tours are grueling.
You know, and that's why I'm a little concerned with, like, that's why I really think Floyd just doesn't really care about this shit anymore. Like, picking Andre Berto was signal number one. Like,
I think
don't care.
May might be out of the question. I think this is the first May we don't see Floyd. But I think we roll around this time next year, May 17? Floyd's damn near 40.
You think he would come back at 40?
If he's fighting an older fighter, I think if he can get a Cotto, if he can get...
But he's beat him.
He just needs a big name for the money.
The only name that could bring him back out with the money.
Pacquiao again?
Yeah. That's the only, and that'll be strictly for the money.
Pacquiao would have to win twice this next year.
But that's my point.
And then call out Floyd and say, I'm healthy, and Floyd come back out of retirement.
I think
would be huge, by the way.
The longer Floyd stays away, the more likely he's not coming back. If he would have to come back because all the stars would have to align. The arena opens next year.
Yeah.
He would have to be the first fight. Get a shitload of money for number 50. Perhaps fighting Pacquiao because in his mind, he's not going to fight anybody young and dangerous like Keith Thurman or Sean Porter or any of those guys. I mean, even though he should have been fought Amir Khan, I think Amir just kind of talked himself out of the fight.
Yeah, Amir is a rat.
So
he can't even get the Kell Brook fight at this point.
He can't get shit. He'll end up fighting Shane Mosley.
he doesn't want Porter.
Nah. And I have a story coming up, and I'm not going to put out too much. I talked to Kenny Porter, who was training Shane, and yeah, they put in the call for a lot of names, and there's two of them have already said no.
Oh.
And we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah,
fight week. We'll probably have to get Kenny and Sean back on the show.
Yeah, we got a stack next week's show, by the way. We'll have two shows for you guys next week.
But yeah, it's just everything, like for him to allow his sparring to be filmed was like, first of all, I don't give a fuck about Berto because there's nothing he can watch here to do anything against me.
That's what I took away.
Yeah. And then the second thing was, maybe I'll just leave you guys with something special on my way out. So yeah, I think Floyd might be out. It's just not, before it was like, yeah, I don't think he's going to retire. 50 is just, 49, why don't you break the record? Now it's just like, even watching that All Access, even though I know it's scripted shit, he's really that happy with his kids and spend time with his kids. And the fact that when you just deposited a $242 million check into your bank account,
kind of set for life.
Kind of don't need to do this shit anymore.
A bunch on top of all the other money you've made.
You know how hard. Have you ever seen the movie Brewster's Millions?
No.
Richard Pryor, he had to spend like $1 million in a day and it was like a hard.
Yeah. Okay. Hit. No. Yeah.
I've now had. Think about spending $247 million, and that's just one check. Now, first of all,
taxes.
The government gets theirs. But still, like, this fight is going to make, what, $30 million? I mean, come on. He had the richest contract. So what else do you need? Like, what else do you really need? I know Floyd likes his money, but I think he just kind of wants to walk away. When you start saying
it'll
shit,
it'll be
like
odd to see him, like, fade into the background and not be flashy Floyd in the spotlight and crave the attention.
I don't think he craves the attention now. Like, when I watch him now, I think he does it as an obligation. He doesn't like to leave, like, he doesn't like being mobbed by people anymore. He doesn't like all that attention. He's old.
Yeah, that's that young man joke. Yeah, he's washed. It's all right. It's cool to be washed when you do that shit. Like, just leave it alone, walk away, enjoy your money, your kids, and that's it.
Don't, I mean, I'm sure Floyd does dumb shit. I mean, everybody does dumb shit, and, you know, they want to go out and party and you know, whatever it is that they do. I'm not saying Floyd goes to a nightclub, but, you know, like the whole incident of Fatburger with T.I.
Yeah.
You know, I think he kind of wants to get out of that shit because all it is more negative attention. And at this point, you're fighting somebody. Nobody likes you, you know, like – And like he was telling me, he was like, all that really matters to me is my kids love me. He's like, I used to want to be a person that everybody loves me. He's like, no, all that matters to me is my kid loves me and my parents set. And I got a lot of money and I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want, whenever I feel like it. He's like, when I fight, I have to go to the gym. I have to work out. I don't have to do that anymore. And I'll be happy to walk away from this shit.
So he might be done. We'll see after this fight. We'll see if Pacquiao can talk him out of it. When we come back, though, we got to talk about the other thing you did this weekend, PWG, yeah. And we'll talk about Monday Night Raw and some other shit. And yeah, then we have a UFC.
I didn't talk about being at the TDE offices either, but we can talk about it a little bit.
So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Yep.
Quick break.
Well, I met this lady and I told her quite a story, said I love her forevermore. But the trouble is, I tell the same old story to every girl that walks through the door. And this is the slick start talking at your honey. Well, first they love me, and then they don't. Sometimes they do it, and sometimes they won't. So I said to this girl.
All right, we're back from a quick break. We got to talk to Andreas about PWG.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
Crazy. I guess I have to do, there's a lot of people who have asked me, what the fuck is PWG? So, PWG is Pro Wrestling Guerrillas, an independent promotion that happens in Reseda, California. It happens once every 2 to 3 months in a small warehouse that has no fucking air conditioning.
Ever, I guess.
Ever. And it's always hot. But the likes of El Generico, who became Sami Zayn, Kevin Steen, who became Kevin Owens, Pac, who became Adrian Neville, or Neville! Daniel Bryan's wrestled in PWG. AJ Styles has wrestled in PWG. Cesaro. All these guys have wrestled for this independent promotion. Started by a few guys, Super Dragon, Joey Ryan, and I can't remember the other two cats.
Still wrestles.
Right. Super Dragon and Joey Ryan both still wrestle. Joey Ryan's part of a tag team called World's Cutest Tag Team with Candice LeRae. A girl who legit wrestles dudes and takes bumps like a man. Like, she's not big. She's small.
I seen the videos. It's crazy.
They fuck her up. They're like, you're like, it's for real. But it's an adult wrestling company. And not adult in the sense that, you know, there's, like, scantily clad women.
No Miley Cyrus going on.
No, it's none of that. But it is strictly the crowds are hot. The chants are intense. And there's no barrier between the action and the fans, right? So there's stuff about 400 people in this arena or this building. And you can touch the ring. So many people have been there. Sofia Vergara, the one I went to, Ronda Rousey was there. Like this time was like Max Landis was there. Like a reporter from Esquire was there. It's just mad people. Old wrestling people. Seth Rollins has showed up to the last one before this.
Rey Mysterio was there.
Unmasked Rey Mysterio was there. Like he walked by me and I saw the chin hair and I was like, I looked at Marcus who went with me and I was like, is that Rey Mysterio? Because it was Conan's fat ass was there too.
Okay.
And I was like, nah. And I looked.
Oh, that's because Prince Puma was there, right?
Well, or Ricochet. Conan, yeah, Ricochet.
So, got to show love to the people. Probably Victoria, scouting some new people.
Who used to wrestle in WWE, Victoria was there. She was sitting like right in front of us. It's always brings people. I know the Clash of True Blood went to one. And it's become this thing, right, that people go to because, A, it's not on pay-per-view. The only way you can watch it is on DVD like 2 months after the event happens. It's
torrents now.
It's super archaic, their method, right? It's open seating. You either buy a front row seat or you buy a seat. And then you have to get in and sit down and hope you have a seat. They sell pitchers of beer for like $4. So you just get fucking blasted out of your mind and just watch wrestling and chant. So this weekend was their Battle of Los Angeles, his annual tournament. That lasts 3 days, that has insane matches, and the winner usually gets to fight for the title, which is currently held by Roderick Strong, who's a face in ROH, but who's like the biggest fucking heel in PWG.
I think I prefer him as a heel.
He's a remarkable heel. He's been phenomenal. Like, for Roderick Strong, like, this is what happens. Like, Roderick Strong, when he was a face at the last one I went to, the chants for Roderick Strong are like shitty little boots, because nobody likes his boots. And that's the chant. They call him shitty little boots. And now he's a champ, he's shitty little champ. And if you like both the wrestlers, it's both these guys. Or if somebody in the crowd says something stupid, it's fuck that guy. And that's how these chants spark off. it's an amazing experience. Ebola was this weekend. I went to day three. And I'll just kind of recap it from the top. Me and Marcus got there about 3:30. The line was insane.
I saw your like little video or something. Like it was deep.
More
people were there than the crazy Mayorga fight.
Yeah, it felt like it. But everybody's cool. So it's like it's hot as shit. People will buy waters, hand them out in the line. Like this isn't PWG doing this. This is just fans that are helping each other out. Max Landis, who did the Wrestling is Real video, bought pizzas for everybody, bought like 20 pizzas, walked around, offered everybody a slice. It was supposed to start at 5. The doors didn't open until 6:15. So we're sweating balls out there. Everybody's melting in wrestling shirts, just talking about wrestling. We finally get inside. The event starts at about 6:30. The air doesn't work in there. You're melting. Fuck beer. I had water. Like, I didn't have any liquor that day. And then once you find your seat, you don't want to get up. Now, the other thing is, like I said, there's no distance between the ring and the crowd. So if a wrestler falls on your chair and happens to break it, well, that's the end of your fucking chair. You're standing for the rest of the show. So, in short, I mean, people probably have seen the spoilers that have been posted online, that people that care about PWG, but it was a combination this year of, like, British talent, Lucha Underground guys like Pentagon Jr., Phoenix. There was Ricochet, of course, who's Prince Puma, but he was Ricochet. The Young Bucks have formed a group called Mount Rushmore 2. Real short, Mount Rushmore 1 was the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, and Kevin Steen, who is now Kevin Owens. That was Mount Rushmore 1. At Mystery Vortex, they formed Mount Rushmore 2 with the Young Bucks, Roderick Strong, and Super Dragon, who Super Dragon has always been a face. Went heel on everybody and fucked everybody up. So now they're like the NWO of PWG. So they had a tag match. We had our tournament matches. Zack Sabre Jr. won. Anybody's ever seen him is like this grappling whiz. He had a match like Marty Scurll, which ended up being half comedy, half like real technical wrestling. Like it was an amazing event. Like the bumps that people took. Chris Hero's fat ass was there. Chris Hero can go. And he made it to the championship with Speedball Mike Bailey, who's like a karate guy who does not have a wrestler body, but he's fun to watch. People are just getting fucked up. Chris Hero beat Biff Busick with a pile driver from the second rope on his head. He did a chain pile driver like Eddie Guerrero did against Mike Bailey in the championship, in the finals. It was sick. Like, I had an amazing time. The shit didn't end till fucking midnight, and I had to drive back to Vegas because I thought it was going to end at 9, but it didn't end until midnight. I had to drive back to Vegas and deal with that, falling asleep behind the wheel stuff. So I had to stop at every stop and get me a Red Bull. When I got back, I was jacked. I was ready to do the podcast at like 5 in the morning. Like, let's go, shit. But I had a great time. Anybody who's never seen a PWG show, go to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, their website, buy a DVD. Buy a Mystery Vortex.
We have to set it up where, like, we'll go and just invite listeners and we all just go.
Yeah, I mean, you really...
Then, like, we'll just go chill. Like, not Battle Los Angeles, because I clicked 2 minutes after the damn thing came up and it was gone.
All their events are like that.
We'll all, like, set something up and maybe we'll go with, like, 20 listeners or something and we all chill and drink and
drink beer
hang out.
And jumped on. Like, yo.
That's it, man.
The one event
West Coast listeners, we got to make it happen.
Ronda Rousey chopped Tommaso Ciampa. Like, Ciampa came out, and Biff Busick held Ciampa, and Ronda Rousey chopped him in the chest. Like, you get involved. The horsewomen are always there. They're always there. Like I said, it's just fun. Like, Ciampa came back. Nobody expected Ciampa to come back. Chuck Taylor, I don't know if anybody knows Chuck Taylor, Chucky T. He was there. It was so many people and so much wrestling and it was so lighthearted and so fun, the chants and the energy. And even though it was like 1,000 degrees in there and I probably lost 10 pounds, it's time of my life, man. Like, that shit, I was more hyped about that than going to SummerSlam, NXT, or anything else. The shit is great.
Nah, that sounds like super dope. Did you catch Monday Night Raw when you came back?
I did. Even though I was over wrestling, and actually I watched it this morning. I TiVo'd it. I DVR'd it. I couldn't watch it the same Monday. Like, I was over it. I couldn't watch any more wrestling.
Yeah, it was like too much.
Way too
overload. So now that we saw it, you saw your boy, Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Diggler. Yo, this is Boogie Nights now. This shit is turning to Boogie Nights.
Almost flashed the whole damn crowd. Like, his towel was almost to, like, mid-thigh. I'm like, yo, what are you doing, my man?
Like, I don't...
It's a whole weird dynamic they have going on with him, Rusev, Lana.
Like, I don't understand why we're doing this anymore. Like, when we first started, like, first of all, Lana in, like, Euro trash gear isn't cool. Like, the jean vest.
Jean.
She looks ridiculous, right? Like,
jean jacket with the sleeves cut, like Jada said.
It's a dumbass angle. But the whole, like, she saw me naked, but it was only for 2 seconds. Like, did she see you naked? Like, it was just stupid. And it's like, I feel like Dolph just needs to bone them both, and we need to go back to the attitude era.
I was wondering, because all guys have this happen. Shit, some of the women listening might have this happen. What do you do when you're not cheating, but it looks like you're cheating and you get caught? What do you do when you are cheating and get caught? I've never had one of these situations.
Should I have?
See, I was thinking, like, yo, like, what happens when someone walks in and catch you red-handed cheating? Like, I've been caught doing some stupid shit before, but it's always, like, after the fact. After the fact, whatever. Like, walking in and getting caught cheating, I feel bad for Dolph Ziggler. Like,
yeah, I've never had, like, I've been in some situations where they just sound bad. Like, they're hard to explain. Like, why were you there? Well, because, and everything just sounds bad, but it's true. And there's no other, and like, those situations happen to men all the time.
All the time, where you'd be like, yo, I swear I'm not doing shit.
Yeah, like.
But it looks really bad.
Yeah, like, why is she taking her shirt off? Well, there's somebody spilled beer on her shirt, and I just happened to walk in, and she was taking her shirt off. It wasn't for me. It was for, like, those situations just sound bad. And men, because we are terrible liars and shit, when we do lie about stumbling and shit. When we are actually doing some shit, it sounds just as bad as when we're telling the truth. So they're equally the same. So when Ziggler got caught up, he's like, she just saw me for like 2 minutes or 2 seconds. Even on scripted television, I'm like, Dolph, you're lying. Like, Dolph is not even reading the script right. Like,
yeah, like there was no believability to that whole shit. Like, you know, all the women in the crowd were like, leave him, Lana.
Yeah, he ain't shit. You know, Diggler stuck his diggles in some array. It's like it's just too much going on.
Yo, the whole dynamic is crazy. And Summer Rae's still whack.
Yeah,
she doesn't add anything to that.
No, she's terrible.
They got to move both of them on from that situation. They're killing Rusev.
I mean, they're killing them both. Like, you know, I'm a Ziggler guy, so it's like to see him have to go through this each and every week.
Know how I feel about Ziggler?
Yeah, but for him to have to explain like why Summer Rae walked into his locker room and saw his schlong. Like, that's, I don't want to watch that shit. No, thank you.
Yo, and they chopped it up. So it was like the entire episode of Monday Night Raw was like a soap opera between these four.
She was stupid.
That was dumb. Some okay matches, though. Cesaro keeps losing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't. Kevin Owens has got to win. It's just that him and Cesaro need to wrestle elsewhere. And then if they're going to do it again, do it at like a pay-per-view for something important. SummerSlam is over. So it's like, why are we wrestling again on Raw? Why is Cesaro losing again to Kevin Owens?
Yeah, they need something fresh. I mean, Owens might have to go against Orton now. Maybe give him someone else with a big name to feud against.
Anybody. Why has, like, Neville been written off television? Can anybody tell me that?
Oh, man. That's the Stardust effect. Like,
Stardust is gone, too.
Yeah, like, no one wants to see that shit. You got, like, Red Arrow, Green Arrow, it killed the whole momentum. Yet, Ryback is still on every week, twice a week, holding a belt.
And that's so infuriating because he's so terrible.
Horrible.
I don't understand.
Even though he shell shocks the Big Show all the time.
Well, now it's commonplace. You know, like some things are like, man, a physical feat right there. That's amazing. And then you see it every fucking week. And you're like, okay, that's enough. Can we save it for something? Like Ryback. Like Raw as a whole was an okay show.
Dudley Boys, though.
Of course. Seeing the Dudleys is always great. New Day. First of all, the best thing about Raw was Xavier Woods' perm. Xavier Woods' perm was by far the best thing on Raw.
Laying quite flat.
Yes. And then bubble wrapping the table, like save the tables. Like New Day is just really super over right now.
Oh, they're great right now. And the Big E dance.
Oh, the Big E dance is just never getting that. You could do that shit every week.
Yo, we're still the New Day for Halloween, right? I'm getting someone to make this costume. Like I'm getting the Big E singlet with the stupid like half cape.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
All right, good.
I'll get some Kofi dreads, or I'll get a perm and be like Xavier Woods. I'll do it. Yo,
Marcus
do
has
it.
To be Kofi.
Well, let Marcus be Kofi.
All right, good.
He's got to get a weird chest, though.
Yeah, we got to get like a fake chest plate or something.
Yeah, you got to do that. But New Day is like the most over thing right now, to me, in the company.
It is. And the WWE will find a way to ruin it.
Yeah, they'll
the
turn
Usos
face.
Will come back.
They'll
and
turn
then,
face
yeah,
ruin it. That's how they'll ruin
take
it.
Take them off television or some shit. And, you know, Vince loves black people.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what else we have? Rollins.
So, I have this thing about how this Rollins thing is playing out right now. It's inevitably going towards a Triple H Rollins fallout.
Yeah, it seems like that. Everyone's
it's inevitable. Like, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Rollins, Triple H. My issue with this right now is how they're going about doing it. Sting winning the championship at Night of the Champions is possible if John Cena runs roughshod over Rollins and Rollins wins and retains the U.S. title and then loses the Sting later that night.
Yeah.
But all this really does is weaken Rollins no matter how many ways you slice it. He has to win both matches. And it makes sense if he wins both matches because of the way to build his ego, he should win both matches. Realistically, there's no way in hell he should win both matches. Like, going against Cena is going to be a problem enough. My problem is that I don't think they're going to handle this the right way, and they're going to weaken Rollins, or they're going to turn him face eventually.
He's going to go face.
And that's what I don't want to see. He's a great heel.
But to go against Triple H, an authority, he's going to have to be a face. It's just the nature of the beast. And they can do it and not weaken him. I mean, the whole MO with Rollins is other people coming in and winning stuff for him.
Right.
So I could clearly see Sting, Rollins, after Rollins already beat Cena, retains the title. Sting, Rollins, Triple H runs down, chair or something, or sledgehammer, it's Triple H. Sledgehammer, Sting has the bat. He's going to hit Sting. He hits Rollins. Gets the hell out of there. Sting's just like, oh. And then next thing you know, Scorpion Death Drop. Sting wins the title. Rollins is like, fuck, Triple H turned on me. You don't make Rollins look weak. You just make it look like Triple H turned on him.
He just looks like a face. And that's my problem.
And he has to be a face.
That's the dilemma. Like,
you're going to turn Triple H face? Yes. Triple H's not a face. And the authority is going to be a
but
face?
He's not. But the way that they've been playing the authority, they're pandering towards the crowd. NXT, like,
Divas Man. Thing.
They cheer for, and we'll talk about the Divas because that's another fuck. That's become a debacle.
Oh,
an absolute
shit. With
debacle. But the only way I can see this working is if Triple H comes down to watch the Sting match and ends up getting involved because Sting forces Triple H's hand to get involved. And then Rollins, and then, you know, whatever happens, and then Rollins gets pissy, like, I don't need you. I don't need you. The only problem, again, with this is nobody has Rollins' back. So if he doesn't have the authority's back, he's by himself as a heel. And he's not a strong heel when he doesn't have some type of backup. That means, like, Ambrose would have to turn heel. Something has to happen for this to make sense. Because the way it's working right now...
Are you finally on board with the return of the Shield?
No, I'm not. Because it's too...
It Shield does, could be a great heel faction.
It could, but not right now. Because now they're embroiled in this whole feud with the Wyatt family. Getting,
and which is 3-on-2.
Right.
With the Mount Wyatt guy.
Right. But we don't need a third member to help them. Just keep letting them get their ass whooped. Because if you add a third member, it's going to be somebody that we don't want to see. That's all it's going
to
be.
No, it'd have to be the Shield.
It's not going to be Seth Rollins. Like, Seth Rollins not getting involved with that shit. It's like the pacing is bad for all this shit. Because now we're getting ready to head. We got Night of the Champions. We got SummerSlam
Royal Rumble.
No, Survivor Series in November. You have time to build things out, but you still want to. They still want to work on a Roman Reigns championship run. They want to do it. They just are trying to figure out how. And you can see the gears turning on this, and they're trying to figure out a way to split off Ambrose from Roman to turn him heel because he's a natural heel. It's just Rollins in the middle of all this is like the Triple H feud is great because Rollins can't have the title when he's feuding with Triple H if it happens at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It just, I wouldn't like him as a face. I wouldn't want
to
see that shit.
Triple H has to mistakenly hit him then. Like, Triple H is swinging at Sting. Sting ducks. He hits Rollins. Rollins is out. And then Sting, Scorpion Death drops both of them, pins Rollins. And then Rollins just flips out the next day like, you cost me the belt.
See,
and then goes super heel.
Or Triple H is trying to hit Rollins, hits Sting. Because him and Rollins get into it outside the ring.
It wouldn't be bad either.
And Rollins gets the pin, and then he's still mad, like, I didn't need you to do that. And
only reason like, you I have wasn't. The belt is because of me.
Right, and then it turns into that. But him defending the title twice, I like it. I'm not sure they're going to handle this shit the right way.
I like it more if they let him go clean twice.
See, that's what I've always wanted to see Rollins
do. It'd be an amazing night, because then it doesn't matter where you go from that, because he's proven
over,
and he's over.
Where's
then,
my – get him a statue, goddammit.
Yeah.
Like, get that man in a statue.
And then you can turn him whichever way you want. So that's crazy. Before we talk about the Divas, let's talk about a diva, an NXT one, who was involved with Seth Rollins.
Diva?
No longer on the roster.
Future Endeavor.
And what was her name again?
Zahara. Yeah.
So, thank you. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, so the whole story is Zahara, her old Instagram. Like, first of all.
For sure she was the side chick, by the way. She was like Rollins' side chick.
But yeah, she was on NXT TakeOver, sitting next to him. Here's my issue. You get signed to a very public company that has a very strong perception of their public perception. Like, they are very on top of social media and everything else.
Super conscious.
Zahara decides, you know what? These old pictures of swastikas and stuff, I'm just going to leave on my Instagram. Why? And then, you know, somebody pulled a screen grab and found her defending her use of the swastika.
Always bad.
Then she said she liked all the Disney princesses except for the one in The Princess and the Frog because she's black. Now, you can't defend this shit. At a certain point, if you're going to be a racist like Hulk Hogan, try to do it in the privacy of your own home. If you get videotaped, you just didn't know. You were always a racist, but you just didn't know. To put it on your social media and on your Instagram.
And then leave it and defend it.
Right.
Like, the shit's cool.
Like, she was like, oh, the swastika used to be a symbol of, like, hope or something before Hitler took over. But then there's
try to bring it back.
Yeah. And then,
like,
there's, like,
but Clerks with Porch Monkey.
There's a, right.
We're going to bring it back.
But what they ended up, what she ends up doing is posting another picture of, like, My Little Pony with a Hitler mustache and a swastika. Now, you can't defend the use of that because we know what it is. It's like, you know, it's like,
maybe she thinks Hitler's a very nice person. I don't
know. Who just tried to defend the Confederate flag?
Someone did?
Somebody did.
All bad.
The Confederate flag. Somebody defended the Confederate. Was it what, Yellow Wolf?
Yeah, it was Yellow Wolf. Yeah.
And it makes you, like, as much as you try to defend it, it's like, dude, no, just leave it alone, okay?
Time and place.
Yeah, and there's no time and place. Like, there's no time and place to defend a swastika. Well, like, when we had the Holocaust in America. Like, you can't defend that shit. So, yeah, she got Future endeavored. Now, how this falls back on Rollins is what
Rollins
I'm saying.
Rollins got to cut her off.
Well, he's all right. I'm sure he's cut her off.
Side chick gone. There's always a new side chick.
Is this what's going to lead to him losing the title? Because you know how the WWE likes to penalize people for it. You keep guilty by association.
I mean, he didn't lose the title after the dick pics
scandal.
He
lucked out.
He lucked out. I mean, this is strike two, if anything.
Yeah,
you got dick pics. You got a chick who likes swastikas on your arm at the NXT event. Like, one more, and you're out.
She said she didn't like The Princess and the Frog because it fucks with the image of princesses. It's a black princess. What is wrong with you? She also said,
she was very sexy before she was a bigot.
Yo, she also said that Native Americans and African Americans are the biggest whiners in America and need to shut up. Like, scrub.
And in no way was this a work for her heel.
No, because this was 2 years ago.
Okay,
scrub
good.
Your Instagram. Be a racist on your own time. Right? Like, if you're going to be a bigot, do it when nobody's watching. But for you to have the balls or the vagina or the tits or whatever you want to call it to put this stuff on social media and never reconsider it, like, you just got signed to the company. You know how the company is. I'll just leave it up there.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, you deserve to be Future endeavored. Now, I just want to know what Rollins was thinking because he had to see her Instagram. He probably hooked up off of Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, she's in a performance center. Maybe he came through. She is sexy. She's cute. She got the tattoos, everything like that.
You keep talking about her being sexy.
She is, and that's why she was a diva. She was, what, like a manager or some shit? Solomon Crow this first week. She just debuted.
Right.
Like, she got like 2 seconds.
Grand opening, grand closing.
That easy. Over. Like,
but
damn.
I'm just saying, like, you know, Rollins and the Bears, like, hey, baby, you know, them swastikas. I don't know about these swastikas. And she, like, jumps on the dick and it's like, never mind.
That's all it is. We're like, yeah. What does that mark mean? Okay. It's fine.
That's great. Like, I don't know what Rollins was thinking. Like, Rollins should have known because his dick was just projected to the world. Like, hey,
because of her. Yeah. I mean, because his girlfriend then found out about her.
Right.
And then leaked his shit.
Like, it's getting ridiculous, people. But
He's done a lot for this side chick.
I'm just saying, like, yo, you're the champ.
Side chicks will blind you. Women are the downfall of most men.
Modern civilization is because of women. The doom of modern Adam and Eve, like, we can start there.
Yep.
Like, you, any
ancient Greece, Rome,
women.
Everything falls because of women. Seth is about to just wreck his whole shit over a side chick with a swastika.
Not even his main chick. Like, you're not going down over your wife, right? You're going down over a side piece who probably just ain't
a whole different
you.
Conversation. Side pieces command a lot of respect nowadays.
They shouldn't.
Side chicks get treated more favorably than the wives.
And that's sad.
That's just the nature of having a side chick.
I know. That's why they crumble entire empires. Because the stronger woman in the situation is always going to be the wife. Because she has the power to take half of your shit.
Yeah.
Side chicks don't have the power to do anything but expose you. Which leads to you losing
which
half of your
shit.
Which
is a lot of power.
Which means keep your dick in your pants and don't fuck with chicks with swastikas. It's really the moral of the story.
Lesson learned. listen. Life lesson on the podcast. That's why people listen to us. Let's talk about the Divas before we go to another quick break and come back with UFC. But we have the Divas Revolution against the clock.
Yo, this shit is trash, yo. They've ruined it already.
Charlotte's going to get the belt.
Send them back to NXT. Send them all back to NXT.
Is a pay-per-view before or after the record?
I was the same thing. I don't know.
Because I don't know. Like, they marketed the pay-per-view for 3 weeks away, but the countdown says 14 days.
Right.
So is she going to get the record and then drop it?
I figure the WWE will manipulate this number like they did, like WCW manipulated Goldberg's record. It's like, it's 100 and something. No, no, he's not. You just make up numbers after a while. I thought they would have made up a number, and then nobody would have looked it up, and they would have rolled into the pay-per-view. If not, this shit has even gotten dumber. Because if
she's going to break the record.
It's stupid.
She can't drop the title and then win it back.
No, she can't. But that's why I'm saying this Diva Revolution is just...
Sasha Banks still didn't lose, necessarily.
But she got spiked on her head, and she was about to get pinned in a minute.
Yeah, and then gets pulled out of the ring and saved. Like, so it kind of looks a little weird.
This is bad.
So the NXT Divas at this point just can't lose, right? So they can't get pinned. They're untouchable. But Stephanie McMahon have made them... How? There's always triple threats. The other person always gets pinned.
Right.
When it's one-on-one, you get DQ'd or pulled out of a ring or something. It's crazy. They're untouchable.
And there's nothing revolutionary about this concept. We have to push the needle a little bit. Somebody's got to lose.
They got to go one-on-one, or they have to have legit-ass matches. It was cool for the introduction and gained them some buzz. Now you need to solidify them. You have to make them less of a sideshow. Now they become a sideshow item. Yeah. Now you have to say you want legitimacy. We're going to treat them like every other superstar, and you're going to have to go out there, wrestle, and earn this shit.
That's why we should be seeing like a weekly Divas match between these women, a Becky Lynch and a Sasha match, or even Naomi, because she's past the NXT stage. She got past it. But have them wrestle like 10-minute matches, one-on-one. No interference.
Like
no
NXT. Look, yes. That built these women where they just said one versus one. And you know what? We don't see every one of these women every week. But we see them every other week. Then WWE has two shows. You can put Sasha on one, Charlotte on the other, Becky on the next Monday. Switch it up.
What are we doing? Like, the Beat the Clock challenge was ill-fated from the beginning.
Yes. But Charlotte is getting the push, and like she always does in NXT, she got the push first before Sasha.
For obvious reasons, the Flair connection. However, the thing about it is, okay, Becky Lynch can beat Alicia Fox. We all know Alicia Fox can't really wrestle.
Yeah.
Charlotte can beat Bella.
Yeah.
Because Brie Bella can't really wrestle. Paige and Sasha Banks, on the other hand, that's not a Beat the Clock challenge.
You know what? Even if it was part of Beat the Clock Challenge, cool. Don't end the match as soon as the clock goes off. Give me a 10-minute match.
That's what I'm saying. Let them go.
And the shit hit a minute and a half, and it was like, done. Why couldn't we just see them wrestle for another 8 minutes and showcase their talents being two of the best women wrestlers in the company?
Like, see, I would have been fine with this, that they get past the minute, and they wrestle to like a fucking schmoz, like it's a double count or some shit. They wrestle like a 15-minute great match. And nobody wins, and there's a DQ or something because all the Divas jump in. I'd be fine with that.
It would have been fine. It sets them up. They could have had two Divas matches at the next pay-per-view.
That's my point.
You could have had Sasha versus Paige rivalry. You know what? We're not giving either of you the belt because Charlotte's the chosen one now. You guys go start your own rivalry. That shit will be great. And then you have Charlotte versus the Bellas, and you just split like that. Natural split.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are we doing
here?
Every week.
And they drop the ball.
Like, every week we're going to have these girls do, like, this ring around the rosy bullshit. Nobody gets pinned. This is terrible.
And half of them suck. Can Tamina do a wrestling move?
Tamina can actually wrestle.
Can she?
But, like, she's a heel, and she's, like, the powerhouse weak heel. It's weird. Because you always have the big, strong guy who sucks. And that's, like, Tamina right now. And it just so happens to be with the black crew. Which pisses me off.
She got a little flavor. That's why they threw her in there.
It's just all weird to me, and it doesn't make any sense, right? Because like Nikki Bella is not even the greatest wrestler, but she's decent at least. Charlotte can wrestle, Becky Lynch can wrestle, Sasha can wrestle. Why are they not wrestling?
Paige can wrestle. All I want
to
see.
We have yet to see a Divas match, one-on-one Divas match on Raw television that's gone over
5 minutes.
They're all tag matches, and I don't give a shit about those. Quit ruining the Divas. They were talking about save the Divas. We need to bring that shit back. I'm gonna bring a hashtag. Send their ass back to NXT. Like send them at, it's like drop them back down, man. Like you called them up too early. If you're not gonna
free
do the right
Divas,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it better be leading to one hell of a WrestleMania push with like three Divas matches or something crazy. Yeah, if you have 4 hours, I'll watch 3 Divas matches in 4 hours if they're in it, because they can go.
Yeah.
So after the break, we got to talk UFC, man. We'll talk Ronda Rousey and maybe her future in the WWE, because it looked like it might be coming sooner rather than later.
Hey, she ain't got shit else to do. You can't keep collecting arms for the rest of your
life. Hey, it's about that money. If we're asking Virgil, right? What would Virgil do if he was here? It's about that money. So Ronda's thinking about the money and can't blame her. And then we got UFC 191 coming up this week that we'll both be at.
Full out preview. We're going to give our full predictions. So if you've been hanging with us this long, stick with us a little more.
All right.
We reporting live from the 90059 with my nigga J-Rock, and this is WTOP Radio, and I'm your host, DJ Turnup. I don't turn down nothing but my collar. I ain't turning down no money, and I ain't turning down no motherfucking face. Now, bitch, if you're pushing up the street with your orangutan-looking ass, take some advice and bang sizzy your flat foot, bitch.
Itching for a climax, last and past 11:30. Do you got it like that? Do you really got it like that? Itching for a purpose, I can't seem to scratch the surface. I ain't got it like that. Do I really got it like that? You keep talking about time, I got none. You can find me with the sun, don't ever end, and the waves don't part. You don't pay enough for my rent, don't start. I got big dream, you got quick scheme to get rich quickly, and I don't wanna waste another hour. Really need to take another shower, dirty for you.
All right, welcome back. Andre's steady dropping crazy shit during our little breaks, so I know everyone had a good laugh. And before we start talking UFC, you keep forgetting to talk about what you actually did at the TDE offices this weekend.
So, yeah, in between the Mosley Mayorga debauchery and the PWG marathon, I ended up going, I'm doing a piece on J-Rock for Complex about the album 90059. So I've known J-Rock since 2008 before TDE was doing anything. I've known Top Dog when his name wasn't Top Dog. and people who know what I'm talking about. So I went to the TD office and heard the album. Everything but like 2 songs. And that shit is good.
Is the album done?
Yes. It's a...
No date on it, though.
No date. And a lot of people saw the reports that were coming out that it might be coming out next week with the street dates. They are literally going the route of when it gets to a certain amount of pre-orders, they're dropping the album. And there's no... Whenever it reaches that number, that's when they're going to drop it. What I heard was great. More interesting, though, is really going to be the premise of what I'm talking about with him when you guys see this article in about a week, is he's worked backwards. Most rappers come out and want to be the face of the labels, the first guy to come out, like 50 Cent with G-Unit, Nelly and the St. Lunatics. It's like it's you, and then you're the biggest star, and then you bring everybody else along, and they tend to never be as big as their biggest guy who came out first. J-Rock's run worked in the exact reverse. The first day I met him, no, the second day I met him, because he came to my BET offices twice. We've had very interesting conversations that will always stay off the record. But he gave me a flash drive of K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar. Nobody knew who the fuck was Kendrick Lamar was. And I think I sent it to Shake.
Back in the K-Dot days.
And it was, and it'll be in the Kendrick Lamar EP, and it was like a shitload of songs that some of them have never seen the light of day. The first song that he had played for me was Kendrick rapping over, I think it was the Foreign Exchange beat. And I was like, the fuck is this? And, you know, and Kendrick, the second time, was sitting outside my office at BET, and he never came in, and I didn't know he was sitting outside, and we had like an hour conversation. That would never happen again today. But J-Rock has always been about the rest of the family.
How old was Kendrick then? Like
22? 19? No, he was 2008. He's what, 27 now? So that's 7 years ago? So he's about 20.
20, yeah, right? Like 19, 20.
It was the same night he ended up destroying Charles Hamilton down the street. Okay. Show. I think it was an SOB show. Me and J-Rock have always been cool, but he's always been about putting those guys on. This is before Schoolboy Q was even in the mix. There was no Schoolboy Q. There was only Absol and
Kendrick.
Yeah, Kendrick. But so, and most rappers, their first project is their best project, with the exception of like J. Cole, who his first full project album was his worst album.
Yeah, it was not good.
But J-Rock has gotten so much better as an MC. And to hear it come out, like, there's been talk about the song Vice City with the Black Hippie members on it.
Yeah.
Yo, this shit is phenomenal. And the reason why it's so dope is you can tell how much fun these guys were having in the studio together. Because it's really ignorant. Kendrick's talking about it. He spent too much on a coat. Like J-Rock's talking about like, fertilizing bitches. Like, it's insane. Then Q comes in and it's like real rambunctious and Absol. It's just comedy, but it's dope.
I like all of their tracks together, though.
Yeah, it's just something that is, and it's really, the thing was, is like, J-Rock kind of explained it to me that, you know, Kendrick brought him the beat. It was a Cardo beat. And was like, we got to do something to this. And Kendrick started laying the hook as a joke. He's like, you can hear him smiling on the track because he's laughing during this hook. And he was like, all right, we're going to go back and forth, kind of like how they did on Easy Bake. And then from there, like, Q came in and heard it and was like, I want in. And Absol came in and was like, I want in. It turned into a Black Hippie song. Doesn't mean a Black Hippie album is going to come out. People are still going to hold out their hopes for it. It's going to be really hard to get all four of those guys in the studio together.
That's odd, though. Why? I mean, I know they all had their own stuff in touring and obviously everyone is blown up at this point and has their own kind of niche area and group of fans.
Right.
Like, they have their hardcore fans that they can honestly tour and make their own money and appease their crowd and drop dope music. But it seems like for a guy, guys at such a small camp, it's not like a huge camp or anything. No. It's like, just set aside a week or two, drop an EP with 8 songs.
Well, the thing about them is they like recording together, which means they all have to be in the studio at the same time.
Lock your ass in a house. And you live in L.A. Like, find a mansion.
I think silently the expectations are almost too high right now. Like, if they were to put out that album, I don't think it'd ever really truly meet whatever expectations we're looking for. And Quiet is kept. I think they need to, another round of albums need to come out. Most importantly for Absol, because his last album just frankly wasn't that good in comparison to the rest of the guys. Like, Oxymoron was great. This album, 90059, is great. Kendrick's album is great. And now they got SZA and Isaiah Rashad in the mix.
Yeah.
Which, and
SZA's dope, too.
Yeah. Her shit on Easy Bake?
Oh.
Woo.
They could put her on every other hook, and I'd be happy.
She's dope.
But she's singing her ass off. Good performance live and stuff.
Yeah. So it's like, for the folks that want to know, like, 90059 is an amazing album. And the progression of J-Rock as an MC is very, like, I'm impressed. Like, I was thoroughly impressed, like, because he told me, he was like, yo, I don't take the game as serious anymore. I'm not, you know, every bar is not like life or death. He was like, I'm just happy to be here. And I like to see my brothers make it. And we all kind of sit around and we try to figure out new ways to write music. And they listen to different shit now. So, yeah, man, I spent there and I left with the Kendrick Lamar ventilators. Got me a TV hoodie, which I've been owed from Ret One. Shout out to Ret One for a mad long time. And it's just, and I'll see those guys in a couple of weeks. Me and Shake will be at Life is Beautiful. You'll be there, too.
Yep.
Kendrick's performing, Absol's performing, and SZA's performing.
I gotta write like 3 articles for the entire weekend, so I'm gonna just run around with you guys and just chill and do nothing.
Yeah, it's gonna be wild. Like, I went to Life is Beautiful last year when Kanye and Outkast were there, and it was wild. But this weekend with Kendrick is and Stevie Wonder and Imagine Dragons and Duran Duran, this is a weird fucking lineup.
I feel like Shake really likes Duran Duran. And we're going to have to spend a lot of time at that stage.
No, I like Duran Duran. You want to be real with you?
You like Duran Duran?
Yes, I like Duran Duran. No, I'm an 80s music guy. Like, the Breakfast Club soundtrack is always one of my favorite soundtracks.
Oh, definitely.
So it's like, 80s music is my shit. And when Duran Duran was putting the bill, like, I was like, oh, shit, Duran Duran. Like, for real. Like, Imagine Dragons, no. I need to see Duran Duran. Like, Run the Jewels is on the bill, which we're definitely going to be sitting down with, too. So, yeah, all that to say, spend the day at TD offices. Those are my dudes, and that J-Rock album is Flames.
Can't wait to hear it. Hopefully it drops soon. Hopefully everyone pre-orders that, and we can get the album out.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it, too, just because.
Show support, right?
I don't need to buy shit, but I am. You know.
Let's talk about UFC, then, before we wrap this up. UFC, yeah. Ronda Rousey today came out and said she doesn't want to fight until her 30s, and everyone's like, okay, mid-30s. She's like, no, 31, 32. She was on a Joe Rogan podcast and kind of just talked about everything. And that's kind of the thing that stuck out, though. It's like, yo, you're 28 years old. 31, 30, that's like 2 years. Like, one, we need the cyborg fight to happen if it's ever going to happen. And two, Dana needs to find a new cash cow.
Well, there's also this other problem. She's not Floyd Mayweather, right? She doesn't make that kind of money where she could walk away from the sport and just be like, all right, fine, I'm done. The other thing is, it was this guy by the name of Bernard Hopkins who promised his mother on her deathbed that he was going to retire at 40. How old is Bernard today?
I think his mom is proud. He's what, 50?
He's 40, yeah, 48, 50. He's whatever the hell. Bernard is an alien, like he says. He's old as shit, and he's still fighting. People, unless Ronda becomes like this tremendous actress, which I don't honestly see happening, she's going to continue to fight.
Yeah, she's definitely a type actor. She's going to be put in the box.
She's an Expendables. Like, she'll always be an Expendables type movie. She's like the Jean-Claude Van Damme. Until, you know, maybe she'll get her shit together. Maybe she'll be a phenomenal actress.
She could be like The Rock.
that's a whole nother level. Like, The Rock was an actor before. Like, his whole WWE premise was built on how well he was on the mic.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and that was all, you know, like any wrestler, well, not any wrestler, but most wrestlers should be good actors because this is basically live theater is what they're doing every week.
Improv.
Ronda's just tearing off arms every week. Doesn't make you a great actress.
I think she gets that WWE deal, though. I think she gets a monster offer. Brock Lesnar, three pay-per-views a year type offer.
Yeah, that's a foregone conclusion in my eyes. Like, she's a wrestling fan. Like I just said, she shows the PWG shows. Like yeah. She shows like she went to WrestleMania. And I don't think she just went to WrestleMania to be part of that segment. I think she was a fan. It was next to her backyard. Why wouldn't she go?
Yeah.
She's going to be in WWE. Is the wear and tear of MMA will eventually wear on her? I don't know if it'll be 30. I think she might try to do them both. Some part of me always says that Dana and Vince have this strange relationship where they call each other and text each other like emojis. And Vince doesn't do it himself. He has, like, somebody else do it because Vince is blind.
What the hell does this emoji mean?
Yeah. He's smiling at me. Stephanie, come here. And, like, then, you know, and Dana sends. Because Dana sends, like, emojis all the time. He put an emoji on Fedor's, like, Instagram.
Yeah. Today,
which caught everybody's attention. But, yeah, Ronda, she's not retiring. I just don't see that. She'll take a few fights off, like a paid vacation, like I suggested.
Like you want, yeah.
But she's not retiring. She's loved fighting too much to retire.
And she's still in her prime, like when you can dominate everyone, you get that itch quicker than anyone else.
She's an attraction.
And her next fight got moved up, so we don't get to see Ronda.
No, she's going to fight in Australia and try to fill up that big-ass building.
And she will.
Yeah, she will.
She'll fill up that whole damn thing. People go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch it stateside, and she'll be one hell of an attraction.
Hey, good for everybody but Holly Holm.
Horrible.
You have
for
no time to prepare to get your ass whooped.
3 months.
You know, it's like you're dying of cancer when you're fighting Ronda Rousey. Because it's
inevitable.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. But now we just push the date up on your ass. Like, you're going to die of cancer.
Yeah, she went stage 5 real quick.
It's like, God damn, this shit is accelerated.
If she did have a chance, though, it's pretty much over. So now it's like, Holly, what? You're just going to feed her to the wolves? Just the next chick to get knocked out in 15 seconds? Or she's not going to get knocked out, but she'll get armbarred in like 20. Because she's never been on the ground.
No, she doesn't know. She has no idea what she's doing on the ground.
So it's just going to be ugly, and her arm's going to get pulled out of the socket. And then it's just like, well, next.
It's just an exhibition.
Does that mean Misha moves back up and into title contention?
Of course. That's exactly what it means.
But they were trying to save that for 200. Now you need Cyborg.
We don't need them to fight at 200. We need Ronda to fight. But at this point, it doesn't really matter who she fights.
She got
to
fight Cyborg. If 200 is going to be the show to top 100, she has to fight Cyborg. And I saw Cyborg in a picture with Misha Tate.
Did you see how big she was?
She's a ginormous woman.
There's, again, no way she makes 135.
I need the Deuce Bigelow. That's a big bitch.
Yeah.
Like, he just dropped. Every time I see that, like, she is huge.
I told you, when I was standing next to her and I'm just looking at her, I'm just like, fuck, dude, you're huge.
She looks bigger than me.
Yeah, like, you're huge. Like, you cut weight. Like, women don't like crazy cut weight. She crazy shaves. Like, she's like, I gotta lose this muscle. Like, no women does that. You know, it's like, I gotta lose these abs. Like, how do you lose abs?
Yo, she loses damn near a whole nother person. She
just, dude.
So, she loses a Paige VanZant for every fight.
Pretty much. And like I said, 200's creeping. Ronda will end up being on that card, of course, because she has to, because 200 is going to be huge, but it doesn't really matter who she fights. She'll probably be like the third fighter on that card.
That wouldn't be bad. That when Ronda's your third fighter.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Then she can fight anybody. You don't really have to worry about, oh, she's got to fight somebody big to draw. No, the big draw would be Conor McGregor if he wins the title against somebody.
But they said he's going to Ireland, so they'll probably take him off of that bill.
Yeah, I mean, Conor McGregor's going to fight at 200. If he beats Jose Aldo and becomes a champion, he will be the biggest star in UFC alongside Ronda Rousey.
Then what? You got to go Frankie in Ireland, Uriah? Yeah.
Fuck, man. That's tough.
Aldo rematch?
We'll talk about this Go Big campaign in a minute because there's things. If you really
We're going there on Friday?
Yeah. They're not giving us one-on-ones, though. So
what time is that?
12:30.
Okay, I thought so. I got to read my email. So, yo, I forgot to apply for UFC 191.
Good job.
I just completely spaced. I didn't get an email saying that, like, I was approved, and I had to hit Chelsea up. If you guys don't know, Chelsea's part of UFC PR crew.
Yep.
And I had to hit her up, and I was like, yo, I didn't get that. She was just like, Excited. I'll get you through. So shout out to Chelsea for getting me approved in like a day.
You know what just happened?
Well after the deadline.
There are a bunch of MMA journalists listening to the show right now who are pissed.
Why?
Because you just told, you basically just kind of blew Chelsea's cover.
Oh, good shit, Chelsea.
And basically said, I didn't fill out my credentials. And there's people that got denied and put in their shit in time.
Yo, okay, listen. If you listen this deep into the podcast, shout out to you because you're a like, real fan. So I'm just talking to family here. So let me tell you something. I have no awareness that people get denied for shit. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Like, I've been approved to a lot of boxing shit, a lot of UFC shit. I am blessed to say that I have been. And sometimes I forget about shit, and I need to put in, like, a late request. I do it in boxing sometimes, and it, you know, helps to know some of the PR people and just be a genuinely nice person and stop and talk to people like the Daves and yep. Chelsea and Kelly in boxing and all this stuff. Because when you forget shit or if you need, like, an interview or you need to get somewhere with a fighter, it's nice to have a good relationship with someone.
Yes,
so
people don't understand that.
If you want to get approved for shit and not get denied, when you do get in the door, talk to some people. Don't be an internet superstar and a keyboard gangster or whatever the hell you may be and just hide behind your laptop and stay quiet. Be personable. Talk to people. Yeah. Something that is a lost skill. Then you can forget to apply for major pay-per-views and go anyway. Three days before.
Kel's a douchebag. Hashtag Kel douchebag. All right. So I want to talk about this big, Go Big thing because we're kind of talking about, you know, 200 and what's going on. The Go Big campaign is this next wide string of events. That started what, in 192 is the start of it?
Yes.
All like big title fights. Every card is stacked. But have you noticed that they've back-ended each card with two fighters that could potentially replace one of them if they fall out?
All the time.
They like, real smart.
Yeah, and I've been like noticing, I was like,
Like the Chad Mendes Frankie Edgar,
except for
fight?
193 though.
Which 193?
The one Ronda was moved to because it was just one.
Yeah, like, now it's fucked.
And once it went, in which it did, yeah. And you had Lawler go out, and then it was like, oh.
Yeah, well, they just had to completely move that one. But if you look at Aldo McGregor, and you look at the Ultimate Fighter finale, which is Mendes Frankie Edgar.
Yep.
Let one of Aldo and McGregor get injured, guaranteed that there's going to be one of them pulled.
Yep.
Which will more than likely be Frankie Edgar.
Correct.
If
Weidman goes down, I wouldn't be surprised to see Edgar on the main card.
Well,
versus
yeah.
Mendes.
But I think there's a middleweight fight that's sandwiched in one of these cards where they can start. Like everything is like the lightweight fight between Cerrone and Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah.
There is Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov. They're fighting, yep. So you could just pull Khabib off and put him in there. The UFC is back into this very well.
See, I didn't think it was more so for injury purposes. I thought it was just because they want to start aligning the next contender with the next champion. So they're on the same, like, timetable. So they'd be like, okay, Conor, you're going to fight the winner of Mendes versus Edgar. So you guys are fighting, like, on the same day or a day in between. So now you guys match up, and we can see, like, okay, fans, look at this. This is who they're going to be fighting next. Let's showcase the next contender, and it's easier to build up.
I mean,
and the same thing with Ronda. When Ronda was at 195,
right.
Still, they put Tate right under her.
Right.
So but, it was just like, okay.
But I think there's duplicitous nature of this is because you've got to protect your thing. Because what ends up happening is with Chad Mendes, he wasn't ready to fight. So his conditioning was off. Regardless of what he says, he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
But now, Chad Mendes and Frankie Edgar have been through a whole training camp for a 5-round fight. So they can fight in a championship fight. Like, the UFC knows what they're doing right now. Like, they've back-ended each of these fights to make sure that somebody, you know, can step in if somebody gets hurt.
To get rid of some of the bugs and the kinks. And that's what happens when you're a young company. And then you see, like, you had a year like 2013.
Well, they've had some shitty years.
2013? Yeah, I think it was 2013 when everyone, like, got injured.
Yeah, it was like that, and it was like 2012. Was 2012 the John Jones, Dan Henderson debacle?
Yeah.
The 151. That was 2 years ago.
So it was like,
you got to figure these things out. Like you
And they're growing and learning from them, and people continue to get injured.
Right.
So
it's going to happen. Like, these cars are inevitable.
The training has to change, though. That's the key, because the training, man, these gyms are just getting better and better. And the fighters, the caliber of fighters, top to bottom, are getting better and better. So you're not getting a bunch of cupcakes leading up to a fight. You're not the most dominant person in your gym anymore.
Right.
Like, you could be the best striker, and then there's the third best wrestler in the nation in your gym, and you get injured because your wrestling skills aren't up to par. So it's like, these shits, it keeps happening. They need to start backing down and learning how to train. It's the NFL. They only hit once a week.
Well, yeah,
now,
I mean,
like, bigger, faster, stronger is real. You can't wear full pads four times a week and then play in a game on Sundays. The UFC has to figure that same thing out.
You also have to figure it out because this shit doesn't happen in boxing.
No.
We don't have cards terrorized by injuries in boxing. It's only in MMA.
Because it's the same discipline.
Right. You got so many things where somebody can fall on your leg, or you just pop someone. You're going for a shooting for a takedown, or get an elbow to the head, get a cut above the eye. Too many ways that a fight can go wrong. So this Go Big event, like, I'm going to be paying very close attention to see how many of these fights actually play out in the manner that they're supposed to.
December was stacked.
It is. It's loaded.
As of right now, like, it's stacked, and hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah. So before we talk about 191, this lingering rumor that Fedor Emelianenko, who could be signed, could not be signed by the time we're done with this podcast.
Looks like it's getting closer and closer.
I figure it's inevitable. I don't see why he wouldn't. But
good move for him financially. UFC's heavyweight division isn't that tough.
But Fedor isn't that tough either anymore. And therein lies my dilemma with Fedor Emelianenko.
Isn't Fedor like 33?
No, he's old.
Is he old?
Yeah, Fedor's an OG. He's been around Pride days.
He's been around for a while, but I thought he was younger than I anticipated. No, he might be like 38.
He's
like DC's age.
My problem with Fedor is this. The UFC's been after Fedor for years.
Oh, he's 38.
They wanted Fedor versus Randy Couture.
Yep. I mean,
they wanted Fedor versus Brock Lesnar. They wanted Fedor to be in the UFC. Fedor's kind of burned him in every corner because his management team is always him and Dana. They just don't see eye to eye. Fedor kind of needs the UFC now, right?
Yeah.
Fedor is not the Fedor he used to be. Now, the problem is that Fedor's rise wasn't paralleling MMA's rise. So there's a shitload of people who have no idea who Fedor is. They just heard about how good he was. Or you caught that affliction card when he knocked Andrei Arlovsky flying through the air and he caught him with the right hook. You saw that. But you never really saw the Pride fights when Fedor was, you know, he's this dumpy Sambo guy. Like, you're like, he can't win all these fights. And he's amazing. Ricardo Arona, like all the guys that he just mopped. Now he comes to UFC and people get excited. You pay all this money to get him. What if he gets thrashed in his first fight?
You got to feed him a cupcake. You have to. You have to do everything possible to keep him healthy and fighting until UFC 200.
Well, this is my UFC 200 plan with Fedor. Fedor comes in, wins a fight, preferably with Mark Hunt in Australia. They announce it for 192 as a co-main event. Got to fill up that building. Ronda should fill it up. Fedor would definitely fill that building up against Mark Hunt. You keep Fabricio Werdum active. He wins a fight. Cain Velasquez rematch. Maybe. I don't know how they're going to do this because Mexico is not Mexico again. We don't have this altitude problem. And you build for an epic rematch at UFC 200 of the Strikeforce defeat for the title between Fedor and Fabricio Werdum.
He needs a quick title shot. That's one thing.
Well, you can't. You always say, like, he's old. That's why they should get a title shot. Fedor's old. He needs a UFC title shot.
Well, I mean, DC is his exact same age, and DC is wearing the belt.
DC's still improving.
Fedor's
peaked.
Yeah.
Fedor's on the downslope of his career.
I thought the same thing, but we have Frank Mir and Arlovsky about to fight for what could be a number one contenders match.
It could be, but, you know, I think that the talent gap between the champ and everybody else is pretty wide right now.
Champ and contender, and I think that's why it's an immediate rematch.
Yeah, so it's like with Fedor, it's like you got to get him in there to fight somebody who isn't too dangerous but has a name. And somebody's going to draw, who is Mark Hunt.
Well, let's do our pound for pound this week. Five best opponents for Fedor.
Okay,
first fight.
Number one, Mark Hunt.
Number one for me is Mark Hunt, too. Easy. Mark Hunt's not beating anyone.
Yeah.
He couldn't beat me with a flip-flop right now.
Yeah, he's looking bad in his last few fights.
So, Mark Hunt is number one for me. Alistair Overeem is number two.
That's dangerous.
Glass jaw Overeem, though.
I know he's got a glass jaw.
Glass jaw Overeem.
If Alistair Overeem beats Junior Dos Santos, then I'm all for it.
To keep him away.
I'm sorry. In the reverse. If Alistair Overeem beats Junior Dos Santos, that fight should never happen. If Overeem gets ran over, make the fight.
If he gets knocked out, make it happen. Yeah. Bigfoot Silva, three. I think it's winnable. Struve could have been in there, too. But Bigfoot Silva, three. Brendan Schaub, five. And I know it's not cool, like, put a guy with a million concussions in there just to get slaughtered. But, hell, he wants to keep fighting. Might as well do it. And then the other guy I have is Verdum right away. Don't waste time. Don't even risk the chance of, I guess, a loss. Kane is often injured, and that's being nice. So if Kane can't get through his training camp, then you plug Fedor in right away, right now.
Well,
go for it.
The name that you left off of the list that should be in is Mirko Krokop.
Ooh, that's like a throwback nostalgic fight.
And that's
just to see the headline. The
fight's going
to
draw. And
Fedor versus Krokop.
Why not? Like, if we're trying to get Fedor, if we're trying to carry Fedor to 200, like, I don't even know if you throw him in there with Bigfoot Silva. Because Bigfoot Silva's the kind of big guy.
He is. His name is Bigfoot for a reason.
He's one punch away from terrorizing your life. So it's like, all right, cool. We put him in there.
Roy Nelson? I didn't say Roy Nelson.
You could put him in there with Roy Nelson, but Roy Nelson hits him with a right hook and his life's over. It's kind of like you got to kind like you have to handle Fedor with kid gloves right now.
That's the story of the heavyweight division. Like, is there a heavyweight without power?
It's like, can we get you to 200? Will you not fall apart before we get to UFC 200? Because Verdum's on a roll. And when Verdum beat Fedor, it was like nobody expected it. But now people expect it. So if we can carry Fedor to 200 and get him to fight Verdum for the title, it's a big fight.
Huge fight. For like the fourth card, if they line up the main card with all championships, I'm going to just lose my shit.
Well, yeah, then I don't know what the hell you do for the rest of the year. But
I don't know, but you get like Joanna, you get heavyweight title.
She won't fight on two.
Weidman. Like, well, I mean, or even Mighty Mouse. Like, say Mighty Mouse is the champion.
Mighty Mouse won't fight on 200 either.
You need someone with the fifth slot, just any title.
I just don't think you do five title fights on one card. It's retarded. Like, you know how long we'll be there?
That's epic. I don't care. Five, we got number time. Fights? You got something to do.
I have time. I got other shit to do than watch people fight all day.
I got shit to do at 12 o'clock at night on a Saturday.
Go to sleep.
Old ass man. Not even trying to turn up. Old ass man. He just wants to go to sleep. Middle of July.
You've never been to a UFC card and been like, yeah, I want to go home. Don't lie.
This has been some questionable cards. Okay. I mean, I've been to the Ultimate Fighter cards on like Sunday nights.
Yeah, and you're like,
when you're just like, all right.
So imagine 5-5 round grapple fest. Let's just say that happens.
What's the chance of that? You put Connor on the card, Ronda on the card, you're
I'm
not getting
just
a grapple
saying,
fest.
Shit can happen. I don't want to be there all day.
Weidman.
And then what do you do? Like, for the next few weeks, you just have a bunch of contender fights? No thanks.
I don't know. Or maybe even just like Silva. If you get Silva GSP, then.
Well, whatever.
That shit's not headlining.
So, okay. We got through that. We talked about Fedor. And I just, everybody else on Mira, Brandon Schwab, Matt Mitrione, I throw on there too. And Mirko Krokop and Mark Hunter are my number one and two guys. I want to see him fight.
Krokop's not bad. Like, the marquee of that would carry the fight.
Yeah, just the names alone would carry that fight. So go ahead and do it.
And then UFC 191, though, we got to preview it for this weekend.
This weekend, you guys, if you stuck with us this long, we're like, where the fuck is UFC 191 preview? Well, here it is, goddammit.
At the very end.
At the very end. Usually we would kick off the show with this, but we had too much other shit to talk about.
So Mighty Mouse versus John Dodson. Rematch. Two. Dodson floored him twice last time. I'm picking Dodson. You know? I got to do it. By TKO, I'm not picking by decision.
You think he stops Mighty Mouse?
I think he stops Mighty Mouse. He floored him twice. I've seen him stop Dillashaw. It's not the same Dillashaw, but.
No, it was Dillashaw at a lighter weight, but no.
No. I've been wrong before.
Yes, you have, like every fucking week. But no, Demetri, my issue is this. Dodson came off of a long injury, did not look terribly impressive against Zach Mikowski. And he's fighting a Demetrius Johnson who has been rolling as of late. Before the Dodson injury in a rematch, I would give Dodson a pretty good shot. This is one of the times where I say John Dodson needed another fight. Because I haven't been – that the Mikowski fight, they've trained together, so I understand why the fight sucked. But you're fighting a guy who's been terrorizing the division. And who's eager to put you on his wall right now. Because you've been trashing. Dodson has been trashing DJ for months.
All the time. Been stalking him.
So I think DJ wins this fight. And I don't know if he finishes him. But I think there's going to be a clinic of sorts that's going to be put on in the middle rounds. I don't know if Dodson can keep up with DJ for five rounds.
That's the key. The pace of the fight.
Yeah.
That Johnson has just. You can have the best cardio in the world. Like, you can train and feel the best in your career cardio-wise. And the pace against DJ is something different, something you can never prepare for.
So it's either – the only way Dodson wins this fight is by early stoppage. That's the only way I see it happen.
And I think he catches him, jumps on him, and gets that stoppage. Kind of shocks.
Yeah, no.
Shocks the venue.
I'm picking DJ by unanimous decision or late submission.
Smart pick. we have Arlovski versus Mir. So
yeah, which is
Arlovski versus Frank Mir. Frank Mir is having a little bit of a resurgence as an old man.
He beat Todd Duffy. I mean, Todd Duffy's not that good. Let's just be honest. He came in with a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Because he had the fastest knockout in UFC history. Him and Dwayne Bang Ludwig was back and forth. And then he got beat by Mike Russo. And then Duffy disappeared and he got slaughtered by Alistair Overeem.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with Frank Mir. I think Arlovsky's in a lot better of a role lately. My only thing is that Arlovsky kind of went through hell to get that knockout against Travis Brown. But I'm still picking Arlovski to score a second-round knockout.
But, yeah, the Travis Brown fight, you thought he had, like, no chance of winning
shit. I did, but, there's a lot of questions now when I go back. I'm like, well, how good is Travis Brown really? And, damn.
He got Ronda. He's doing something.
Yeah, so, right. but it's like, I don't know exactly where to gauge Arlovski, but I can't give Mir much credit for knocking out Todd Duffy. I can't give him more credit than Arlovski knocking out
Travis. Yeah, Fat Man Mir wasn't impressive.
No.
He just didn't look impressive. That beer belly is just...
No, he's crazy. He's crazy.
Thing of legend.
Yeah.
What else we have? Rumble.
Wait, who are you picking?
Oh, shit, I didn't pick that one? Arlovski? It's not going to the cards.
No, I don't see that.
Someone by TKO. The ref is stopping it somewhere, somehow. And I think Arlovski has the better chance because Mir, once again, like, you can only get so lucky with a punch.
Right.
It doesn't happen in four straight fights. So I can't take Mir in this one. We have Rumble versus Manoa.
Yeah, this is Rumble's fight to win unless he's distracted because of everything else going on in his life. Jimmy Manoa is
throwing shit at women or something?
Like, yeah, and cursing them out and throwing them out the gym.
Yeah, throwing the woman out the gym.
I mean, damn, Rumble, like, everything else going on, you going to get in this mix too? I mean... Yo, if Hulk Hogan wasn't a testament to everybody to, like, chill the fuck out. Like, social media is the devil. It's like, social media and hidden cameras and celebrities are the devil.
Just don't do stupid shit. Right. How about that?
So, like, Rumble's been a guy who, you know, people have thought he had, like, personality issues and anger issues. And he's been quiet. He's been a good guy every time we see him. Even though I've never understood why.
He had a domestic violence, though.
Yes, he did. And this is what I'm saying. When you have these things lingering around you.
Can't yell at women, my man.
No, you got to chill. By the way, sidebar, why is Rumble's eye so yellow? I haven't been able to figure this out.
Yo, okay. We can have a full yellow eyes conversation, like the dingy eyes conversation. I'm not sure if you follow Cuffs, the legend, on Twitter. Yo, the guy is hilarious. I don't care what anyone says. Bandwagon, no bandwagon. The kid's hilarious. And he has, like, this dingy eye theory. Like, Jordan had dingy eyes when he was at his greatest. Like, he got, like, a yellow tinge. Like, you say Bolt. Like, if you got the dingy eyes, he'll pick you in a matchup. Because there's, like, some fucking, there's something, like, behind it. Some sorcery going on when you got dingy yellow eyes. And Rumble got the yellow eye now. It's like the eye of the tiger.
Yeah. He's got light brown eyes. Like, eyeballs. And, like, yellow, like, everything else. Like, the shit looks very odd.
Yo, I'm sure we get Cuffs to come on the show and talk about the dingy eye theory. Christ. Like, so, it's that serious. It's a real thing, man. It's a movement.
Anyway, Manoa's going to come to fight.
Manoa's coming to strike, but which is crazy.
And he's going to come and get his face punched off in a highlight reel knockout. It probably won't last a round.
Nah, I'll do the same. Rumble, first round. If he loses this, he's sliding back a ways.
Well, yeah.
Then he would have peaked.
Well, yeah.
And he will never be the same.
He didn't complete the Robbie Lawler plan. Like, these guys in the Robbie Lawler plan, like, Arlovsky's on the Robbie Lawler plan right now. It's like, you're washed up, and then you come in and just ransack everybody and win the title. Rumble got to the peak of the mountain. I always wonder what would have happened if he would have fought John Jones.
But Robbie lost, too. So Robbie had lost, and then came back, won the second time.
Yeah.
So this is the middle of the Robbie Lawler plan where shit could go really well or really bad.
Yeah, but Robbie lost a close fight that people thought he won. Rumble got choked out.
True. Like, Rumble had no cardio.
Yeah, Rumble got choked out. I still to this day wonder how that fight would have played out if it was John Jones.
Rumble caught DC with that right. If Rumble catches anyone with that right, he has a chance.
I'm very curious how that plays out. But anyway, yeah, Rumble by first round TKO.
What else we have on main card? Corey Anderson.
Jan Błachowicz, who was supposed to fight Rumble originally. Corey Anderson, I think, will win by knockout.
Yeah, well, 5-1. Well, Corey.
You know, I hate picking a lot of stoppages on cards because the shit never really plays out like that unless you're at, like, 191.
I'll go unanimous. Three rounds. It's easy to get through three.
Yeah. I think Corey. I mean, Corey, I'll pick a Corey Anderson win, but probably a unanimous decision. It should be a little entertaining, though.
Yeah, I picked Corey, too. And then Paige, Van Zandt.
Yes, and Alex Chambers.
Alex Chambers.
Yes.
Paige is really young. They want her to be a contender, though. Yeah, they want her to be the face of that division.
They could push Ronda out if Paige were to continue to win. But Paige is not nearly as good as Ronda Rousey.
And she's not nearly as skilled as Joanna.
No.
And she'd have to beat her, I'm assuming.
She's got some work to do. I mean, quiet as kept, I'm more on the Michelle Waterson bandwagon for the female division.
Karate Hottie?
Yeah. I think she lost to I can't remember who she's lost to. But I think she's got a little bit more potential. Then again,
she's been fighting a lot longer. Well, I mean, yeah. Paige is what, 21?
I'm curious to see how Paige Van Zandt looks as time progresses. You know, she's got a good stable. She's been over at Alpha Male. So her wrestling is going to be on point. Her strike, her ground and pound is pretty solid. I'm picking to win this fight. I am too. I don't know where her ceiling is yet. I'm trying to find her ceiling.
If her ceiling is like the Alpha Male dudes, they're going to stretch that ceiling. I mean, you look at TJ. What he was when he started to TJ now.
Well, yeah.
You look at Uriah's entire career. Like, if you have a good ounce of talent, they're going to get that plus more.
Well, the interesting thing about Team Alpha Male, and this is not to say anything bad against Team Alpha Male, they all really fight the same, except for Dillashaw.
Oh, that's because he robbed the whole style from someone else.
Dominic Cruz.
Dominic Cruz. Like, he was just like,
from
hey,
a guy
everyone
who beats
says,
up guys from Alpha Male.
Hey, everyone says this Cruz guy has a good shot against Burrell. Let me just study him. And plus, he had to, once again, mimic Cruz for, like, three fights for people in his camp. So, naturally, if someone's like...
He's like, oh, shit, this works.
Yeah, he's just like, yo, hold on. I'm kind of wrecking shop against these dudes. Right. And Cruz can beat all of them. Let me take this shit and see what I can do. And when you mimic for so long, it becomes part of your game. You mix in a little bit of what you learned there with Cruz's style. And, hey, just like, rest is history.
Like, what are Alpha Males known for? Wrestling, the guillotine. That's the bane of the Team Alpha Male existence.
Listen, they'll knock you out halfway, and instead of finishing with a ground and pound,
they go for a guillotine.
Jump and guillotine you.
Like, ask Chet Mendes how that shit worked, because that's exactly what fucked him up against McGregor. Because
he had one move.
Yeah, he was like, ooh, like, guillotine! And it was like, nope, you idiot. Like all you had to do was stand up.
Scouted you.
Yeah, like, he went for a guillotine, missed the guillotine opportunity, and then the fight was over. He was
gassed. Knocked out. All you had to do was lay on him for three more rounds. One more round.
Yeah, it was just a lot of work.
You win the cards.
It was a lot of work keeping McGregor down. McGregor was active on the ground. I don't know if he could have kept
elbows,
that shit up.
Elbows, punches.
Man, it was annoying as hell. I know it had to be. It's like, why won't he stop? He's like a kid. Like throwing elbows and shit. But
I think he gets knocked out eventually, though. I mean, because.
He gets hit a lot.
Because, yeah, when Chad had to stand up, you got to stand up. Yeah. You got to stand up five times at least.
Yeah.
And Conor was going to knock him out one of those five times.
Yeah, he was going to get him. But, yeah, Paige Van Zandt with Team Alpha Male working with those guys. I think
she has the boyfriend that's like.
Well, she – why can't I think of his name right now?
Shit, we just saw him fight. But, yeah, they could be like the couple of the UFC. That's like highly marketable. They could have like a Total Divas type of show.
No, they can't.
They could. Yo, women love that kid.
Yo, I don't want to see Paige Van Zandt. I don't want to see any UFC, like, loving fighting, like, on VH1.
Oh, that'd be so good.
No, it would not.
It would be. But they got to get, like, some ratchetness on there. It's only, like, you can't have wholesome like, people.
You'd have to have, like, Mayhem Miller on there or something. That's the only way that fight.
Cody Garbrandt.
Oh, yeah, Cody Garbrandt. Thank you. And Garbrandt's a hell of a fighter.
Great fighter. Tatted up. Girls fucking love him. He's kind of like the Bieber of the UFC.
Yeah, without the douchey haircut.
Yeah, before this latest Ellen DeGeneres look. Like, ugh. The Bieber, like, 2 years ago when he was kind of, like,
Bieber's always
rough
like
around
Ellen.
The edges.
Bieber's always like Ellen DeGeneres. He got tattoos because he's like, Ellen don't have these. And Ellen's probably going to get a tattoo. He's like, fuck you, Bieber. Like, you're my son.
Yeah, so, I mean, Cody and her would make for one hell of a show. Yeah, so we'll see what Paige can do, and they're hoping.
Yeah, so Van Zandt wins that fight, probably unanimous decision. That pretty much makes the card. Do I think it's going to be like UFC 91, 191? No. I mean, not 191, 189.
189.
But I think we're in for a pretty good card.
It's not bad. Not a bad way to spend a Saturday. And then We should probably have the Drake Heartbeat Weekend.
Yeah, we should be
maybe, possibly. Yeah,
we don't know.
But if that's the case, then it rounds out the weekend.
It's Labor Day weekend.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a holiday.
Yep. It's Labor Day goddamn weekend. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it's fight weekend.
I'm getting old like you when I don't even know, like, it's turn-up times.
Yeah, it's turn-up
times.
It's
like national turn-up
time. You ever got any, like, I'm getting random people like, yo, what's up for Labor Day? I was like, it's Labor Day?
Oh. Yo, I think my cousin hit me up about that. He was like, yo, I'm coming into town from Arizona. What's popping for Labor Day? I was like, I don't even know what Labor Day is, my man.
You got Kevin Hart weekend at the Cosmo through this weekend with Drake performing on Sunday night at UFC 191. It's going to be a... It's gonna be
I wonder if we do the show from the pool because it's Labor Day. We'll do a nice little special or something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wear some shorts. It's so fucking hot. Yeah, well, actually, no. It's been like 90-something degrees in
perfect
Vegas.
Right now.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So, you guys stick with us. We're going to have two shows next week. We're going to try to pack one with guests. We're going to try to do a special one from Mayweather. We might hit you with a special one this week from like after weigh-ins or media day or something.
Yeah, you know, we might have the usual crew of
degenerate
MMA guys who like
talking wrestling half the damn time and not even about the fight.
And hip-hop and dumb shit, so.
So stay tuned. If we get you a special show, then you guys are some lucky-ass people.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you stick with us. I found out today that we're ranked on Yahoo's. We're in the top 200. We're at 147 right now, overall on sports podcasts.
That's not bad.
No, it's not.
You
gotta
crack the 100, but that's
I didn't
not
expect
bad.
It. You know, because I really have no context of what these ranking means. I had to ask Marcus because you know he was doing them. He's like, if you're in the top 200, you're actually pretty good. And
well,
I was like, really? That's not bad. I was like, wow, because he was like 147. I was like, man, that sucks. And he was like, no, that's actually pretty good.
It's because I only spit the truth on here, man. People want to hear the truth.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God. Stop fucking lying.
No, follow me on Twitter.
Follow him on Twitter. Curse him out. You tell him your Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter at Kel Dansby.
Yeah, follow me at Andreas Hale.
The Twitter for the podcast is at The Corner LSN. Same thing for Instagram at The Corner LSN.
Yeah, then we don't even post it there, but are you going to start?
I'm going to start doing that shit. We'll figure it
start
out.
Start doing some social media.
Yeah, well, hey, we're getting there. We're number 147. We're going to try to crack 100 by the end of this year.
This is a sports podcast. This is not just boxing MMA podcast. This is
sports.
Over,
we're baseball, moving up in the world.
Like y'all don't. I didn't know that many people liked this. And we talk about rap shit too.
Thanks for listening, man. I can't wait until next week. It's gonna be a good show.
Yeah.
So stick with us. We're out.
Peace.